you'd like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
He prefers to be treated like a dog. And also a toilet.
Here is John from New York City.
Hello, Jerry.
Hi.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, John.
I can give you another 10 reasons why not to vote for John McCain, but I'll stick to the reason I called.
All right.
Number one, he flaps in the breeze, opinion-wise, more than Bill Clinton ever did, depending on what audience he's speaking to.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, he did not endorse Republican Rob Spiewak for Senate during the last midterm election in Maryland.
Okay.
Number three, anal leakage and discharge.
Thanks for your call.
He prefers to be treated like a dog and also a toilet.
Well, hi, everybody.
He prefers to be treated like a dog and also a toilet.
Well, welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back to the show.
I'll use this noodle so that you can use my other noodle.
Hi, Joe.
Oh, let's hear this one right up front.
When you see news breaking, wait 24 hours. Then don't call. The Don and Mike Show.
You got that?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hey, it's a little on the gay side.
Gay, 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 gay. Gay, gay, gay. A lot of perverts in here. He prefers to be treated like a dog. And also a toilet.
Right. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Thank you, Big Ed. Hey, hey, ho, ho. What's happening, little brains? Yeah, we have them too. We're little brains as well, Don and Mike Show, and it's Wednesday. You just heard the phone number, the rules. Here's the phone number one more time, 877-365-36. Only call today if you like being treated like a dog and a toilet.
Yes, yes indeed. And you don't speak good English.
He prefers to be treated like a dog and also a toilet.
Saw him last night, and he didn't speak very good English.
Oh, the guy that was caught on the Chris Hansen Dateline show?
Yeah, not English, not his first language.
I swear I am virgin. I swear to God.
That's the Borat guy, right?
Yeah, he was a little bit Borat. Yeah.
I swear I am virgin. I swear to God.
I swear I'm a virgin.
He prefers to be treated like a dog, and also a toilet.
He was such a bad pedophile that he made us feel sorry about the other pedophile that was on camera.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Here we go, the first call of a brand new show.
Happy winter.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I just wanted to report to you guys that I have no news to report. Nothing's happened.
That's as bad an opening call as if someone called
you. Still called.
With some type of gear.
From their home to our home to your home. Colonial Airlines, your home in the sky.
Would you stop quoting the movie Nothing in Common?
You know, in the listen, no, I'm going to go for the whole zero. There's no one in the listening audience that understands that reference right now. Maybe the guy sitting across from me. Probably the only person.
Only I do.
Just for you.
I guarantee only I understand that.
I think you're probably right.
I love you irregardless. I love you when what not.
Would you shut up?
Is irregardless a word?
No, it is not.
Irregardless is not a word.
No, it is not, damn it.
Regardless.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Is irrespective a word?
Yes.
Yes. I think it is.
Yes. Don and Mike Show.
What's up, Don and Mike?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, Keith, man. Southeast.
Hey, Keith.
Yeah, I just wanted to let y'all know, man. I listen to y'all every day. I love y'all, man. Every day, all day, every day.
Right, right.
Thank you, Keith.
To keep it down.
Word to your mother.
Right. When is Rob coming back?
He said probably mid-April.
Mid-April?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm down with y'all. I just wanted to say hi, what's up, and what's going on, everybody.
On the down low, everybody do the Humpty Dance.
You know, Rob's taking that sabbatical down south to, well, he says it's to study.
Yeah, he's going to study, all right.
Yeah, exactly. I said the same thing.
Study the girls.
How about that funky Cole Medina? Gosh, that Tone Loc is a clever rapper, isn't he?
Yes, what's up, Mike?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm all right. How are you?
I'm just over here.
Charlie!
We're just Charlie's around also, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Charlie, I said hi. Yeah.
I will.
All right.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
I'm glad you enjoyed the show. Thanks so much. Goodbye.
Sound like Clinton Portis being Southeast Jerome. You ever seen that one, Clinton Portis?
Is that on the Eastern's commercials?
No, that's during football season. Every week, Clinton Portis.
Oh, when he puts on the different outfit.
Of your Redskins, yes, dresses up as a crazy pimp character. And my favorite one was the guy from Southeast.
That's how you get a winning clubhouse. Is you put on crazy outfits. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess it didn't work last season.
Hello, yeah. Don and Mike Show.
Good afternoon, fine gentlemen.
Hey, what's happening?
Pleased to know if ye will ever bring back the phone scan.
Pleased to try to stop talking in such a way that you think amuses us, because we occasionally speak that way.
Pleased to realize what are we doing right now but a phone scan.
Scanning a phone.
Pleased to understand that if we were to say we were formally going to take calls, we get a lot more dumbasses than if we just dive into the calls.
Pleased to accept the flow of the show as it is and lick our sushi.
And you just hung up.
Good. Bad one.
Hello there.
I will.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Sacramento loves Don and Mike.
And right back at ya.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing but love. Nothing but love. Nothing but asphyxiation.
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
That's it, Mike. What we want to do is take the entire metropolis of Sacramento, California, put its collective head in a plastic bag and make love to Sacramento until they lose consciousness, and then bring them back to life right as they're on the
edge. That's a special moment.
It
was good for Michael Hutchins.
Right at the moment, right at the...
In excess, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right there. At that moment of pleasure. That's when you're almost ready to check out.
Tell me about it. Sacramento gives me a lot of pleasure. Day in, day out.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike. Is this me?
Hello. Come on, get out of here.
It certainly is Wacky Wednesday on the phone.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, D&M. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I was just wondering if you guys saw Buzz Burbank on To Catch a Predator. He brought her M&M. Did you guys see that one?
You know, Buzz was walking a little stiffly. I didn't understand it. Yeah. It looked like he might have had some sort of... palsy condition.
Was there a cat on that show last night who looked like Buzz?
There was a guy that was like the 50-plus guy that looked like he was 100 years old. And he brought the M&Ms, and he was the retired truck driver.
He prefers to be treated like a dog and also a toilet.
He was the one that scared me the most, the real old guy. He was highly, highly disturbing.
Everybody
not that, you know, not that the other guys were pieces of cake, you know, but this guy was just, he came limping in and was just like, hi. And then when he was waiting... They said, and now, a move that we can't show you clearly, and they had to pixelate it because he grabbed down there of where we don't speak in his anticipation of the young lady coming out, and then gave her M&Ms. And
groovy.
I'll tell you, they're getting creepier and creepier and creepier.
Kids love M&Ms.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Chris Hansen, you know, comes from around the corner. The thing that was special about last night, they said, the first was they doubled up. They got two of the pervs that came into the kitchen at the same time. They had no choice. The one guy showed up in the driveway.
I wish they would run that show at a time besides... I know we all have DVRs and TiVos,
right.
But I wish they would run the show at a time when it's not on against American Idol.
Right. You know, I've gone from being from really being amazed at that show and angry to it just... It's really unsettling. The more you see that these... That's wave after wave. I mean, they're like the who are those soldiers on Star Wars? You know, the Death Troopers or whatever.
The Stormtroopers.
They just keep coming, these guys, so to speak.
Isn't it great when they were on the beach?
Oh God, yeah. Because they're getting hip to it, they're blogging or they're getting on the internet and they're saying, "Hey, Dateline is in town," and they're so quick with this stuff that they're warning each other,
right.
the pedophile club out there.
Sure.
So they decided they'd move to the beach. And you got Chris Hansen out on this boardwalk that he's in, and he's trying to chase this guy down the beach. It's very unique.
See, I wish the show... I have the technology to TiVo one show while another one's on.
Yes.
But I always say to myself, now, you know what? I just want to devote myself just to American Idol. I don't even want to see the little red light on saying that I'm taping something else.
You're distracting.
At the same time. Yes. Yeah.
You want to give your undivided attention to the show that you're watching.
Yes, it truly is. And I've also made the mistake, as many people have, because I'm just big and retarded with my Fred Flintstone hands, when I'll go to say, oh, hold on a second. Let me... And I'm going, God damn it, hold on. What channel am I on? And I'm on to Catch a Predator. And I realize that I've paused American Idol, but because I've changed the channel, I've lost, like, the 10 minutes of American Idol that I'll never get back.
Right. I actually did the kitchen TV to the bedroom TV shuffle. That's how I did that. I got home, I'm eating my dinner, and I'm watching the Predator show. And then I zip upstairs about 40 minutes after the Predator show. I don't see the end of the Predator show, and I watch American Idol commercially uninterrupted.
Maybe even in this day of picture-in-picture and satellite TV and DVRs, I should still go Elvis. I should still, like, get three TVs.
Multiple screens.
Side by side. Mm-hmm. Three big 42-inch plasmas right next to each other.
That's difficult because you got to really give your undivided attention, which is what you want to do. You're doing that. But, can I tell you something about the Predator show?
Yeah.
The Predator show now...
It's great. it is a great show.
It's a great show for what it does, but after about 30 minutes, it's gone, as I said, from being... they're getting these bad guys and getting angry to really, I am just so depressed after watching
how
this.
How do you think the guys who work on the show feel this time?
God.
I know why.
Yeah, because, I mean, they got guys whacking themselves, too. You know, guys putting bullets in their heads.
Yeah.
You know, and these predators, these scumbags are just coming out of the water everywhere they go, and they never stop.
That's why you got to watch the Pick Me Up, you know, the Gary Howe show.
Right.
Greg House.
You know
what? You're right, though.
I keep screwing up his first name.
Yeah. I took my cues from you guys when you were talking about what TV you were going to watch. You were talking about there's Predator, then you got the American Idol.
And then you got, Greg House.
Greg House, right. A real happy story.
And I believe, at least based on the phone calls we've had today, this could be Welcome to Half Brain Wednesday. kind of a tribute to Dave Matthews last night on the House show.
Yeah. We had different dates of our surgeries, but when did you have yours taken out, your half? Now, which half did I get to keep? I always forget because I lost so much that memory segment.
I kept the right side.
That's right, and I kept the left side.
Or did I?
No, you did because you start talking normally on the show, and I have to. I almost mimic you,
but
because the left brain does that.
I'm so of course I'm trying to hit myself in the head with the so on.
Coordinated.
Like Dave Matthews on that show last night. He could only play the piano with the one hand for the one side of his brain. Or music was the thing that made his whole brain work together. And
yeah, but as House said to the father, he's a trained monkey is what he was because he really didn't get any joy out of it. And then at the end, he's buttoning his shirt. It was very sweet.
I'd like to invite all the Don and Mike fans to stop by the Don and Mike Museum and see the brains that have been removed.
Half brains.
And we had it done just like on House last night where they put those big, gigantic, pointy things in the top of our head and drilled holes into our head.
And then when the brain was removed, they were tie-dyed, which is, I think they look very, very cool. Very, very Peter Max.
Like Dave Matthews, we had to be, they couldn't put us asleep.
Mm-hmm.
We had to be awake during the procedure. Mike and I looking at each other while they took out half of each other's respective brains.
And then I insisted on, you don't ride motorcycles, but I insisted on keeping that thing on my head when I went out to ride the bike. And boy, you want to talk about looks on the freeway. That was so special. That really was. And technically, it's a helmet.
It took me the longest time to get rid of my soft spot.
Yeah. Sure.
Man, it's like being a newborn at age, I don't know, how old were we when we had the half of our brain removed?
Right at the beginning of the show, we were in our mid-20s, both of us.
So that's a long time ago.
Yeah, very long time ago.
And I still right now, if I push right there, look at that. Oh,
look at the way your eye dips when you do that. Well, look at that. There he is. This is Buck. We both reacted the same way when we came out of surgery. Something wrong. This is exactly how it sounded.
Oh, yeah.
There it is. You belong in a tree. You're a nut.
You are a nut.
Hey, it's a little on the gay side.
I'll use this noodle so that you can use my other noodle.
Oh, he was a creep, too. He was a scary creep.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Hey, I'm Mike from Dundalk, Maryland. After on that show with the pedophiles.
Yeah.
There must be a store nearby called Pedophiles R Us, because there is never a short of them, no matter where.
No, that's what I was saying. They're everywhere. And they go to different parts of the country, and they just keep on coming, including, you know, right here in the Washington, D.C. area, they did one of those shows.
Yep, they're everywhere, Mike. They're everywhere.
Mm-hmm. It's terrible.
Let me just say, speaking of pedophiles.
How are you doing, Joe?
And
was that for Merrill Howard Kalin or for Joe Ardinger?
Yes.
Yes.
the one show that we're all avoiding talking about, the 800-pound gorilla in the room.
Yes.
Let's talk about it, because I know we all feel the same way. Those eight lads on American Idol.
The worst crop I've ever seen.
They blow.
There will not be two guys in the final. It'll be two women. Because,
you know,
I mean, the women are so much more talented.
They always talk about how, you know, that was something you would see on a cruise ship. That was something you would see in a high school play. That's what all of these dudes brought to the table last
night. You wonder
how
they got as far as they did. I mean, they were all horrible. I mean, really, there were a couple of guys that might have been passable, but that was about it. There was nothing that was incredible.
Well,
and it's American Idol at this stage of the game. Well, they suck.
Buzz, here, in a nutshell, here it is. I don't think it's so much talent on American Idol with these people as it is, at this point, showmanship.
Star quality.
If you come out and you've got some charisma, you've got some pop, and you've got some passion, like the women do, you come out and you sell a song. And if you're a guy, you can get away with so goddamn more much. I mean, there are songs like, for instance, the fat boy with the goatee did
Something Ant's Head, right?
Did Jeremy by Pearl Jam. Now, they announced he's going to do Pearl Jam, and I said to Jan, I said, oh, this is going to be a good performance. It's going to be either even flow, or maybe it'll be, you know, I'm not your daughter, something good. And then it starts out as Jeremy. I'm like, oh, what a kick-ass song. And it might as well have been me singing it.
It's horrible.
He was so incredibly off pitch. And I know they say that a lot, that you're off pitch.
Yeah, overmatched is what he was. He was completely overmatched by the song. And it was, it was so not right for him.
And then you've got the guy who looks like he could be on the Cosby Show.
Right. Yeah.
The black guy who's just so good looking.
Did he sing a Stevie Wonder song? Yeah.
He sang, "You Are the Sun." Oh, no, hold on. It was, "If You Really Love Me."
Yeah. Oh, and he's singing on a lower key.
"Won't You Tell Me."
Don't you think you're screwed as soon as you do a Stevie Wonder song and you sing it in a different key and you come out there? And
well,
it was just no energy.
There's a reason that Stevie Wonder sings those songs.
Mm-hmm.
Stevie Wonder is Stevie Wonder.
Wonder's got that register that he can sing, and nobody can sing like
wrote them for himself.
Anyway, I don't know about you guys. I'm watching it, and the only highlight I could find was when Rob called me and said, "Are you aware that Sundance is wearing eye makeup?" And I had to back it up and take a look. And yeah, both he had eye makeup on, and the little brown boy, the Indian Donny Osmond lookalike,
Sanjaya, otherwise known as Sangaya.
He had what's the stuff that you put here on your
mascara
on
the eyelid,
top or
eyeliner? Eyeliner on the eyelid.
You know the stuff.
Eyeshadow
right here that goes on your
eyeshadow. There.
Yes, he had eyeshadow on.
Did you see him do the hula? What the hell is wrong with him? I mean, honestly, I do the hula. I mean, that kid has been out of touch for so long. I mean, if he's gay, that's fine. Come out and say you're gay and you're doing it. But he's just, he has no energy even as a gay guy.
How about his hair?
Oh,
they straightened out his hair this week, too.
I did like the comment. Was it Ryan Seacrest that made the comment about extensions?
Yeah, with
that was funny.
Sanjaya has the same hairdo as my wife.
Sangaya.
Whatever.
Sangaya.
And if you looked real close, I don't know, were you watching in high def?
Yeah.
His feet never touched the floor.
He was just so, they were all, you know, at one point, I screamed out loud, and I said, "Women! They're all women!"
You always yell that.
I know I do.
The problem is that there's no man, and I like when they call them boys, because there are no men on that show this year. They're all boys.
And they counted on, as you were so spot on when you said, they count at this stage of the game on charisma, that they're going to, and they let a lot of these guys through thinking they'd have that, and there's not one of them that has it. Now, there's potential they could come on and
somebody could step up, but it doesn't look like it right now.
I don't think so, because tonight, you know, that the big fat baby's mama, she's going to knock the doors right. down. You know that what's her name, Eliza Doolittle, she's going to kick some ass tonight. There are four or five girls that will come out and will put on a performance that make you go, wow.
Yeah, you sit there, you watch it, and the way I judge it is I watch it and I say, you know, hey, I'd watch that on stage and say, this is a pro. This is somebody who's done this for a while.
As a cunning mimic, were you proud when the blonde boy did a character voice?
I said, that's what the blonde boy is all about. Now, the blonde boy, really, would you not agree, of all of them might be...
Which, the beatbox boy?
The beatbox at least has some level of talent.
And it's hard to admit, because I don't like
no, you know,
watch him.
He's got as much talent, I think, as the guy that wants to be Justin Timberlake.
The guy that I thought, as far as the performance... The guy that wanted to be Justin Timberlake didn't do a bad job, but none of them had any energy.
How about that guy, Phil? Nice hat, Phil.
Oh, God. Oh. Phil, what is the deal with that dude? He's so gone tonight. Thursday night.
And incidentally, Ryan, I shave my head. Well, hey, dude, someone should have told you that ain't a good look.
No.
Really, if you can grow your hair, grow it over your face.
Well, who doesn't like the oversized hat pulled over the ears? I mean, when you can look like a circus clown, that's a fine idea.
And there was a very awkward moment that maybe only I picked up on and read it as such. You've got the guy, the celebrity he most resembles is Herm Edwards, the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. The guy's got a white mom and a black dad, okay. So he's striped, as Rob would say.
Uh-huh.
And he's the Cosby guy, the good-looking black guy.
Okay.
And he comes out and he sings, and really he does this, if you really love
right.
me. Mm-hmm. And Paula Abdul says, I think what we need from you is more color. Mm-hmm. And there is a moment when Simon Cowell looks at her and folds his arms like,
right.
Well, that was very nice, Grease Man.
I mean,
he
wanted to throw her under the bus.
He did not, and they just glossed right by it.
They did.
But I think even in her OxyContin state,
yep.
she was saying something that I thought was right on. Hey, come on. You're a black man. Show us some soul. Jesus Christ.
What she meant was she wanted him to color the performance a little
right.
bit. As far as, like, have more variety of singing, not just singing it straight ahead the way he was singing.
I thought she was saying, you know, come on, you're black, why are you singing like, if you really love me.
Well, you know what, if we try to get inside of Paula Abdul's mind and figure out what's going on in there.
How much of her brain do you think is left?
I think she's definitely, they went over to the other side. They took out the right, maybe took a little of the left at the same time.
You think it's possible she has no brain?
Well, I think they did the surgery, but they did it with an ice cream scoop.
Oh!
Well, that show sure is depressing, and all I can think is what might save it. Not that it needs saving, because we'll all continue watching it like lemmings and talking about it
right.
like teenage girls. Did you hear them saying Thursday the big announcement?
Biggest in the history of the show.
I think it's one of two things. It's either they're going to get Paul, they're going to get a Beatle on there,
yeah.
or they're going to announce, hey, we're going to not make it boy-girl for the top 12 in an effort to appease the audience to say, listen, it's so obvious that the women are so much better than the men. We are just going to go with the top 12 singers, regardless of gender.
Where'd you get that one?
At the bottom of a bottle, Mike.
No, that's how did you? I mean, because I think you're right.
I'm not stupid.
Did you just pull that out of thin air?
Right out of my ass.
That's pretty damn good, though.
Actually, I said it last night.
That's pretty good, because I think you might be right about that. I don't think they always get big names, so that wouldn't be the biggest. Paul McCartney coming on the show would not be the biggest announcement in the history of American Idol.
I think I see the way that they do that show. I think it would be. He's like,
really?
Isn't he like the gold standard that they've been looking for?
Because. Yes.
As a matter of fact, a couple of years ago, someone did a Beatles song.
When are they going to make this big announcement? Tonight?
Thursday,
okay. So Thursday. they can't do the voting for guys and girls. They can't. They can change it for the next week, but they can't change it.
Sure they could. They could change it up on you, because remember, the results will not be until Thursday. So tonight the girls sing.
Yeah, exactly. But
so
the results, they're going to be, they would be making that announcement.
What if they come on Thursday and say?
Oh, and say the lowest vote.
Here's what we've decided
yeah, right.
to do.
Yep.
Rather than take the top six men and the top six women, we are simply going to take the top 12 overall
yep.
vote getters.
I think you're right. I really would love to see that. Because the one thing about American Idol and the producers of that show that I've always thought was great. Okay.
The one other thing that made me think of that last night
uh-huh.
was when they said as they were getting done, of the guys that are up here, How many deserve
to be up here?
Yeah. Deserve to be up here. And of the eight fellas that were there, they all of them said four.
Four. Mm-hmm.
Four.
I think what I was going to say was that the producers of that show, if they do one thing, they pay attention to the audience. They know, they almost like they're sitting here like all of us, they know what people like and dislike about the show. And I would see that. If that happens, that would be awesome. That really, because I think really those guys, there's so many of the guys that just don't even deserve to be
there. And you
there.
Know, again, using the sports analogy as I did last night, and poor Janet had to sit there and listen to this, I said, it's much like putting teams in a tournament where you say the record really doesn't matter. We are just going to get the best X amount of teams and slot them from number one to number 12 and just let it go at it.
I think they ought to do that from now on, and I think that would be better for the show. I mean, people don't care. They don't care that it's boy, girl. It doesn't matter.
No, and the thing that's going to force their hand this year is that the men are so obviously
horrible.
Awful.
Yeah.
I mean, how many of you around the country, not just here in the D.C. area, I know they do this all the time on the Fox station, any chance they can do on the Fox news here in the morning?
Right.
To get, like, schmucks. They had people on the cruise ship Dandy or whatever that thing is that, that goes up and down the Potomac River past the monuments.
The Dandy.
They were having some type of a talent search to find singers and dancers to perform on this thing.
Right.
So they had the people from this dinner ship sitting at a table. One of them pretending to be Randy, Paula, Simon. People coming out singing. My point here is that you could take the tape of someone singing on a boat on a local morning news show and put it up against the tape of one of these American Idol finalists as the men, and you would be hard-pressed by just listening to it to say, which one is the guy that was slumming to be on a crappy local morning show,
right,
and which one is the guy that made it through 100,000 people to be on American Idol?
And the strange thing is...
And do I take this seriously enough?
No.
I'm sorry, I need to back off a little bit.
You are pretty intense, but I like your idea about the, if they do that, if they make the announcement that they're going to take the lowest people.
What else could it be? Unless they announce the greatest one of all, which would be...
Randy Jackson is gay?
No. What's her name? And who's the bad girl? And
Antonella Barba.
Tonight, she's nude on Fox.
Now I'm watching.
Tonight.
You listen, she's been all over the internet. She doesn't mind showing a little skin.
That's right.
Let's bring her out, Antonella Barba, to sing naked for you. And then yeah, I'd like to see the votes after that.
Right.
As the show. Because there's one, there are two things that Antonella Barba has going for her, at least from the internet photos I've seen. Yeah.
And listen, although I'm not a real fan of it, that's a pretty nice log splitter as well.
Yes. I agree.
Yeah,
it's a. I mean, excuse me, you made me choke.
Even though I don't want to do nothing with it, I can appreciate a very nice female ass.
Aesthetics.
And she's got a nice ass. And she's got nice boobs and a nice face.
Absolutely. Nice. She's lovely. She's beautiful.
Can we find a spot for her? Get rid of one of the lame boys and
that'd be great.
Just let the whore be on the show?
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, I don't like her personality either. I don't. If they show the shots of her, and certain girls, they show reaction shots when the other ones are singing, and she always looks like she is wishing death on all the other contestants. And no matter how hot she is, I still don't like her.
You just picked up on something else that I like watching, too. The way that all of the others have to play along when someone's singing, they have to like
stand up on the balcony and look longingly at the other person.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, the whole time they're thinking, God, I hope you screw up. God, I hope you miss a note.
I think that she is hated among that group.
I do too.
Because do you remember, was it last week when the girl had such a hard time singing her last song and everyone came out and surrounded her?
Right.
And Antonella Barba was like 6 feet outside the circle.
Yeah. And
she sort of came over, but not really.
They got me when she was with her buddy from college, and they said something like, we could get any guy we want. Do you remember when they came out and they made that kind of comment?
She could. She's one of those chicks.
Yeah, but you don't say that. That's part of the thing. You keep that to yourself.
She's one of those chicks that would call our show, and we would know immediately that she was hot.
Exactly.
She has that I'm hot and it really doesn't matter attitude.
Right. I think she, we'll see how she performs tonight. I still think she's on the bubble.
I wonder
big
what
big breast like bubble.
Wonder what she'll reveal that we don't know about.
I did a wet T-shirt contest at a fountain.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, gentle persons.
Howdy, what's up?
Hey, do I have that hot like attitude?
You mean like the chick?
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I can tell you're good looking.
Right.
Thank you.
Last night, did you guys catch Ryan's Lay King impression?
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty gay.
Yeah, there was a little tomfoolery between those two last night. With
Simon
whole,
and Ryan.
With the whole gay or not gay thing.
Yeah.
Gay.
The more I watch those guys, the more I realize that they might be, fun to, like, knock a few back with at a bar. They'd be just as mean, in fact, meaner than they are on that show.
But don't you think while they're toasting the whole time, they would say, here's to the idiot disc jockeys and Americans
sure.
who spend endless hours
oh, sure.
analyzing us.
They wouldn't break bread with us. There's no way.
No.
We wouldn't be allowed in that.
No, I meant,
you know.
No, it would be them toasting
yeah.
each other saying,
sure.
here's to every schmuck in this country that hangs on our every word.
You and I, you know, we're at some place like in L.A. and we walked in and we saw those guys. You know, they would just be, oh, there you are.
Right.
Mud. Mud on the bottom of my sandal.
Idol. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello. Hi, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, this is Mike from Napa Valley. I just wanted to ask you guys, what do you think about the one year they kicked that gal off for posing nude, but yet this year they don't seem to have a problem with the girl posing
nude. That's the controversy with Frenchie.
Frenchie.
Lovely Frenchie, who's, what is, she's on Broadway in Rent now. That's
and what is it they're saying about her, that she was in photos that she participated in.
It was an adult website.
Yes, and this other bimbo just put photos of her up or something.
For her boyfriend.
Yeah, on MySpace or something like that.
Yeah, so her boyfriend was with him, so Antonella Barber gets the free pass like she has her whole life. The free pass.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, Mike, don't hate the
don't
players.
Don't be hating on Antonella.
Don't be a hater.
Don't hate the players, Mike. Hate the game. Don't hate the players.
Don't be a player hater.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, we are. Hi.
Hey.
Turn down that radio, please. It's a big knob. Turn it to your left.
What's that?
Good boy.
Exactly. You figured it out, you sly fox. Way to go, old sport.
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, we were looking for someone to really slow down our momentum. Thank you for calling.
Found him.
What's happening?
Nothing much. I believe that I am the next American Idol.
Good. Auditions are next summer.
Sounds no doubt.
We can hear the energy.
No doubt.
Why don't you sing something for us?
What would you like to hear?
Well, you know, usually the whole idea is that you have to pick the right song, so it's kind of on you.
Well, you know, I'm
how about this?
Very
mm-mm good, mm-mm good. That's what my mom is, mm-mm good.
Oh, man. But see, I'm very appealing to the women.
Yes, well, rock this house. Go ahead, rock out. That's what the men are not doing on American Idol. Rock out for us.
Oh, clear that throat.
Rock out for us.
All right, let's see.
Go for it.
What do you want to hear? Just give me something that.
So we're going to make you... you're not used to this. It's a little word that we call effort. And we'd like you to make an effort here by picking your own song.
What singer do you like?
Okay, let's see.
Just pick one. Take some time. This is a thought process.
Right. What singer do you like?
Tedious. Thought process.
Thanks for preparing.
Just pick a song and sing it.
I like James Blunt. Who do you like? Can you sing You're Beautiful? I don't hear that song enough. Or Bad Day by Daniel Powter.
How about Whitney Houston?
Whitney Houston? You got it. You got it.
I love
Whitney
her.
Houston.
Go, let's hear it.
Okay. Let's see. And I will always love you.
I'm sorry we've run out of time.
We'll keep going.
So what do you think?
What do we think?
Well, I thought...
More Ellen, Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, and Helen Mirren, plus a one-time-only reunion performance from Dreamgirls on the 79th Annual Academy Awards.
I like the way the model walked him off stage and then hit him right in the back of the head.
Had to play him out. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Why does this line sound so creepy? Hello?
What's going on, guys?
Hold on. That line is
very creepy.
Definitely screwed up.
This line's going to be really scary.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, listen, I want to tell you a quick story about Ryan Seacrest. It actually kind of caught me off guard. I was at a club in L.A., and a friend of mine had to use the restroom, so we were walking behind him. And a little guy was standing in front of me, and as I was walking past to try and get him out of the way, kind of nudged him a little bit. He actually ended up falling down four stairs, turned around, and it was Ryan Seacrest with three of his girlfriends.
Did he fall like a real fall, or did he just kind of stumble down the stairs?
Literally stumbled down the first and ended on his knees and hands at the bottom of the fourth step.
But I heard the one thing that's going to ruin the story for me. Three chicks, Ryan Seacrest with three chicks.
Oh, so sad. Right.
Bye!
I believe it. I believe it. He's,
so do I. You know. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yo, what's up, Don? What's up, Mike? How y'all doing?
Yo, what's up?
Right.
Y'all having a great time today, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Going outside,
right.
People driving off the road. It's a great time. It's a great Wednesday.
Yes, it is,
my friend. It's a great Wednesday.
I'm very proud that we've been on the air 35 minutes and we've not mentioned the fact that the weather is once again
frightful.
Totally off the charts here. That
is, and it is chilly, and it is windy.
But it is chilly, and it is windy. They started the whole hype machine going last night with this wintry mix. Then they said it's a snow advisory. And then this morning they said 2 to 4 inches, and I'm screaming at the TV going, I've got 2 to 4 inches of nothing outside.
A lot of kids around the area stole one today.
Yeah.
They really, really stole one today. The best kind of snow day. The one that's completely unjustified.
There was, I saw one of the soccer moms on my street who had all of the kids in the minivan.
Of course.
And I was down getting the recyclers, and she was doing the turnaround thing. And I'm like, hey, what's happening? And she says, how are you? I'm like, I'm doing fine. She's like, shut up. Yeah. Be quiet. Shut up. Do you believe this? It's not even snowing. No school thing. Shut up. Because the kids, you're right, in the background, the kids were going nuts.
I remember it very well. Don't you remember the kind of say, everybody would have these in the East. I mean, you'd have the snow day that really wasn't a snow day.
Right. And even now, as it is, at best, lightly snowing outside. Just lightly flurrying.
Right.
Flurries. When I was driving in today, I don't know what it is about Washington, D.C. That makes people on the Beltway, which is a gigantic highway.
Super
a big super highway. A freeway, Buzz.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is that makes people want to go 24 miles an hour.
Fear.
When all it is doing is just flurrying.
If you're that fear, afraid, if you listen to any media outlet, they instill fear.
Stay home if you're scared.
But,
but I do want to give a little credit that while they were conjuring up all the fear last night, I did watch Fox 5 News and the guy who came on. Now, they started the hype at 10, saying, I will have my full forecast for you. It will be awful. I will have my full blah, 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 blah.
Doom.
Guy comes on at 10:45 and says, I just got the latest information from the National Weather Service. I hate to disappoint everybody. I don't think this is going to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I want to point the guy out. The guy's name is Gary McGrady.
Gary McGrady said not a big deal.
McGrady. Yes, he did.
See the guy that wears the glasses?
Yeah, kind of a nerdy guy.
But kind of nerdy, but wants to be cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the guy you're talking about.
No.
Gary McGrady. Hey, I just want to tell you, you know. But he screams nerd when you look at him.
You get the feeling he's the type of guy that drops his business card when he goes into a bar somewhere.
He probably has posters of that Weather Channel dude in his office. Jim Cantore.
Yeah.
He'd love to be. He's probably at the gym every day trying to be Jim Cantore.
Well, we all are.
Aren't we? Aren't we, Buzz?
Do you think he would go into a bar where he might meet who is the guy, Vito or Johnny Gaines?
He would sit down at the bar, and there'd be a woman like across the bar. It would be one of those circular bars, and he'd sit down, and he would sit down, and this is exactly how it would go. He'd sit at the bar and go, oh, man, in a really loud voice, real stage whisper, oh, boy, that's one of the toughest forecasts on TV I ever had to give. Oh, boy, well, we're not going to get nearly the snow we thought, and his eyes would like be going over.
Excuse me, I couldn't help but hear.
Oh, pardon me?
Do you do the weather on TV?
Yeah, but listen, I don't like to make a big deal about it. I really don't like people to know that I'm on television. I am on Fox 5, though. I really don't like people to know, because really, you know, people bother me a lot. What are you drinking?
Roofies.
Why don't you come over and sit next to me so I can
slip something into your cocktail.
I did see on HBO, as long as we're on the topic of TV, a really great promo for the return of the Sopranos.
Oh, really?
And keep your eyes out for this promo, because it has very dramatic music in the background. And what it is in a 3-minute clip job, they show everyone that has died on the show.
Cool.
And, I mean, I'm talking like Jackie and Jackie Jr.
Right.
The mom, when right. she dies. All of the side players.
Joey Pants.
Some guy that got it while he was on the toilet taking a dump.
Right. He didn't get whacked, but he died that way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Everybody that died, I don't even remember from like the episode where they were out in the woods with Steve Buscemi.
Right.
There was some guy that was running away and they just shot him in the head. They just showed this. It was like
Adriana. They show her too.
Yes, they did. You know, like at the end of Animal House when they show the names and what they later became.
Where they are now.
What they would do was show like Adriana killed episode 56.
Oh, so they show that and they actually have the
and then it would have Vito killed episode 62.
And they have the written captions there?
Yes, they do.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It's a great promo, and it makes you realize how many people... That's why The Sopranos has held our attention so long, that they get characters that we love, and then, boom, they're gone. Like, for instance, with
The Sopranos... I forget now. I don't keep track of it.
I just saw the commercial, April 9th.
April 9th is coming back.
Okay. And Joey Pants, the clip... First, they show a bunch of clips of Joey Pants palling around with the guys, and then they go, it says, Joey Pants killed episode 87, and they just show Paulie Walnuts pulling his scalp out of the bathtub.
Oh, the head.
Yeah, remember? No, it was after the head. It was when he just pulled just the scalp off. Just his hair. It was his hair.
Wasn't it Christopher that pulled the head out?
No, but it was...
Was it Paulie that did the wax? I think it was Tony and Christopher that dismembered the body.
Maybe it was, but they pulled off a toupee. Isn't that what they pulled off of Joey Pants? It wasn't.
And the head, didn't the head go clunk into the bathtub?
Yeah.
The new Vanity Fair, as they always do, they're doing a layout of pictures of them.
Right.
And there is a spread of characters who have been whacked, and they use some special effects. And Joey Pants is holding his head.
Oh, that is so cool.
It's a pretty neat picture.
Well, they know how to get you hyped up on it. I guess I'll watch it again.
We've killed more people than you think.
Yeah, Buzz. I like that. And it sounds to me like you watched American Idol last night.
No, I didn't. I've been reading up on it, though.
Well, if you're going to spend the time to read, why don't you just watch it?
I can read in 5 minutes. It takes an hour or so, or sometimes two, to watch the show.
What do you watch when The Sopranos is...
I'm sorry, The American Idol is on.
What I watched last night, I'm trying to remember, besides The Daily Show and The Greg House Show.
Right.
And then maybe a little Moral Oral from the Cartoon Network.
Hey, Cartoon Network, Buzz Burbank for the Cartoon Network.
Adult Swim.
Moral Oral.
Yeah, pretty good little show if you can find it.
Really?
Yeah, I recommend it. You know, Buzz does find those little wacky little shows, and they're always pretty good.
Moral Oral. Yeah. Is that the name of a character?
It's the name of a character. It's the name of a show. It's a takeoff on Davy and Goliath.
So my God.
But it's a little twisted.
Okay, so that's
it. You sold me on it.
So that's something that you TiVo and then you time shift, and then in Buzz's weird world, you have to understand the way Buzz lives his life.
Right.
Like on Tuesday night, if he doesn't watch American Idol, he will have his own schedule made.
Sure.
He'll say, we're going to watch Moral Oral at 8. Mm-hmm. We're going to watch whatever Family Guy at 8:30.
He's as loyal to the box as you or anybody else.
It's different.
He just has his different ways of viewing.
Much more organized than I am. Yeah. I mean, he actually sets up his programming. Mm-hmm. He time shifts shows.
He has
actually,
a grid, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. He makes his own
grid. You've always said that he set a grid.
For the new fall season, I do a special grid. As if I were building my own little network.
A grid.
He does, and it's color indexed.
Yes. Color-coded for comedy.
Is Moral Oral on your grid?
It will be this fall. It was a spontaneous decision to go with this series.
This fall on Buzz's grid.
That's right. I like that.
Moral
but I am
Oral.
Renewing it, so that's good.
Buzz's grid.
His grid. But he's a TV guy. He loves TV.
Oh, we got to hit a break here. Remind me when we come back, I would like to ask Robbie something about eBay.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question about eBay. Oh, and I got an email from my brother, Jim.
Ah, so goody.
Let's pick up there when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Although Kazakhstan a glorious country, it has a problem too. Economic, social, and Jew. This is why Ministry of Information have decided to send me to USA, greatest country in the world.
The Don and Mike Show.
The BME Award-winning Don and Mike Show.
Our website's open 24 hours a day, unlike many websites. Like 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
DonnaMikeWebsite.com.
Not like those 9-to-5 websites.
Lots of stuff up at our Photoshop section. You guys have some really, really funny stuff up there.
I was looking at them last night, and it's every day now. It's every day, and it is highly, highly entertaining.
Even the ones that are not so well done, the ones that have the heads at a jaunty angle where the head doesn't really fit the body.
In a way, those are more funny sometimes. That depends on what naked body they're on.
Check it out at DonnaMikeWebsite.com. Okay, before we get to the stuff that I mentioned before, this, to me, is big news. Captain America is dead.
Yeah. Who? Oh, my God, look at the look he's giving me.
You bastard.
Yeah. Look at that.
Now, here's the question. Is this a ploy?
I'm sorry.
Am I
going
to have to ask you to leave the room? Did I take this so seriously, Mike?
I really didn't mean to overreact.
Is this a ploy by Marvel Comics, or have they actually really 100% killed off Captain America? Where is someone from the basement of the science building who can tell me this?
This isn't like a TV character. I'm sorry, Buzz. This isn't like a TV character.
Like
that...
Captain America fought the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
Captain America has been one of the Marvel superheroes, not necessarily...
In the cartoon he did that? Long time.
No, in the comic books he did it.
Same thing.
Decades. No, he never really had the success that Spider-Man has had or the Fantastic Four.
Well, I was saying the cartoon comic book, it's animated, right? It's a cartoon.
The drawings don't move, hence it's not animation.
Well, drawings don't move in a cartoon in the New Yorker magazine.
Drawings move if you flip them. Yeah. If you draw, like, I'm sure you've seen the flip cards.
I saw this when I was a little kid. Felix, I had a Felix the Cat one.
Mm-hmm. That is how you make animation.
Right.
That you take a picture and you slightly alter it. Then you slightly alter it the next one. You slightly alter it the next one. You slightly alter it the next one.
Each
and
frame.
Then you flip it like you would.
But a cartoon isn't just what you see on Saturday morning. A cartoon can be like a, you know, when you look in the op-ed page of the newspaper.
A cartoon is in the funny papers.
Well, not always, though.
Yes, and a comic book is a comic book.
Okay, a comic book. So it's a comic book character, right?
Thank you. Yes, he is. But, and
animated, you know, I had an uncle who was very animated. I mean, there's a lot of crossing over, and I'm not talking about, that John Edwards show, I'm talking about crossing over words that mean the same thing.
I made it through the whole Superman is dead thing, and Superman wasn't really dead, and I don't really get into comics anymore, but I still have a lot of affection for these cats, these chaps that I grew up with.
In Captain America, they're killing him off in the comic book.
That's what I'm reading now.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I'm the last one to hear this.
I'm very sorry about
Captain
that.
America. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Captain America is dead.
A nation mourns.
He was killed today. On newsstands today.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Well, can we get somebody to go snatch that book?
He was on his way to the courthouse because he failed to register for a new law that requires all superheroes to be registered with the government.
Who killed him on the way to the courthouse?
Don't know. But being a superhero, even if he's dead, he'll come back to life, I think.
Good idea, Rob. See if funny man Patton Oswalt
there's the guy.
Might be able to console me about this.
There's the guy.
Patton's more into comics than you are, even. Than
I think
anybody.
So.
Yeah.
Although comics is also, and really they just handed me this note, it's also the reason I wanted to bring up eBay with Rob, that I found like a 1965 Batman comic that I had a letter published in. Remember a long time ago, we actually found through this show, when I was a kid, I had a letter printed in Cape and Cowl Comments in World's Finest, which is the Superman Batman comic book.
And you found the copy?
We got that. As it turns out, I also had a letter printed in the Letters to the Batcave, which was the... you got Patton?
Yeah, he's on 9/11.
Okay. Oh, good.
So I had a letter printed in Letters to the Batcave, and I found the episode, the comic, like whatever it was.
Yeah.
I got on eBay last night to try to bid for it.
Right.
And there's some jerk-off, and this is my question for Rob. There was no one bidding on this except me.
Okay, well, hold it. Had there been a bid on it?
Yeah, it turns out there had been a bid.
Okay, so there's your problem.
So why do they hide that from you? Because I put a bid in at $25, and it, like, 1 minute later, it comes back and it says, you've been outbid.
Not even, probably not even a minute.
And you were bidding on a comic book that had a letter of yours published in it?
Yes, I am, Mike.
Oh, cool.
Yes, I am.
Well, that is cool, though. I mean, I knew you knew the one was in there. You didn't know you had two?
Yeah, no, I did know that I have.
You had two, only two, right?
Only, as far as I know, only two, but God knows I sent an awful lot of letters. And I never had one printed in Marvel Comics.
So I would imagine you would have upped the ante a little bit if you'd known that somebody else was bidding against you.
Well, as it turns out, what happened was, hold on, let's come back to the
Patton. We should go to Patton,
because Patton Oswalt was on the phone. Hey, Patton!
Hey, guys!
Hey, dude, listen, thanks for coming on the show. Patton, I really wanted your take as a fellow comics aficionado.
Right.
How do you feel about Captain America being killed?
I'm a little confused. I think I out-nerded you guys because I called Ed Brubaker today. He hasn't called me back yet. I know the writer, and I'm waiting for him to call me back.
Maybe I should give
your producer his number. You could actually talk to the writer today.
Oh, I'd love that.
Ed Brubaker is the writer of the comic book?
He's the writer. He killed him.
Wasn't he creative? Wasn't he like Jack Kirby? Didn't he draw it? And wasn't it a Simon Kirby production to begin with?
Yeah, it was a Kirby Simon co-production. They interviewed Simon today. He was a little bit confused as to what was going on. But keep in mind, Captain America was frozen in an iceberg for decades and came back. So
that's what Buzz said.
Yeah.
Shut up.
No, well, Buzz said, I mean, I know I don't know anything about comics when you guys talk about this.
You're mocking us, Mike.
No, but Buzz just said that superheroes can come back to life.
We don't know what else that super soldier serum that's in his veins can do for him. Exactly. Maybe it'll bring him back to life.
What does he have in his veins, Patton?
Hang on, let me ask my friend with a list. Wait a minute. It's super soldier serum.
Thank you.
Steve Rogers wanted to serve in the army and back in the as a serviceman. He didn't have enough strength to
right, so they gave him a shot.
They gave him a shot of super soldier serum.
In essence, what they were doing was almost trying to do like what the Nazis were doing, building a super soldier. Really, it's what
they needed a super soldier to take on the soldiers of the SS.
Right.
Yes. The SS was the it's an elite squadron of soldiers. It's the Nazi shit.
There you go. You know, at least you guys have it in perspective. I'll give you credit. I'll give both of you credit. When you get, because I know Patton takes it seriously, and I know you, Don, take it seriously too.
Yeah.
But for those of us on the outside looking in to this world, I like it when you talk goofy like
Patton,
that.
Patton, what do you think? Do you think, what's your gut tell you? Is it a publicity stunt like when they killed off Superman, or is he really gone?
There's no way you could kill off Captain America. I mean,
agreed.
Look, they quote unquote killed off the Red Skull at the beginning of Brubaker's run, and he came back in a weird way. So I don't think I don't think it's going to happen.
All right, agreed. Thank you.
He's going to come back.
Just needed to speak to someone who shared my passion for this topic.
Since I didn't have the passion, before we let Patton go, I don't want to impose. Could you indulge me and talk like a retard?
No, I will not do it. Because you said I have to do it. At the Senate today, they said we can be our own heroes and then I can be Captain America. Boom!
Patton Oswalt.
Hey, you're a good man, Patton Oswalt. Hey, you really are.
Patton, if you'll hold on and give Robbie that guy's number, we will try to call him on the air. Yeah, hold on 1 second, Patton.
Thanks,
hold
Patton.
On a second. Hold on.
Very cool.
Funny man, Patton Oswalt.
Yeah. I just had to get that little fix from his comedy albums. I really did. Are you relieved at all, or will you not be satisfied with this until we talk to the writer?
There are so many characters in the Marvel Universe you could kill off before you kill off Captain America.
What do you think his odds of coming back to life are?
I think it depends how many booger readers buy the next comic book.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest.
See, that's where you dance in and you dance out of this little world.
I romanticize the comics that I loved when I was a kid.
How come we haven't seen a movie of Captain America? I would think this day and age,
like
right
now,
is super patriotism.
There was a failed TV show. Mm. There may have been a failed low-budget movie.
Really?
Yeah. First off, the costume. It's kind of queer.
Yeah.
Does he
have, like, ears or something?
He's got little wings, almost like the Flash. He has wings coming out of the side of his thing, and he's got the shield, which he's supposed to throw at people.
Haven't they demonstrated, though, you could adjust that? You wouldn't have to really go letter of the law on the costume for the
comic
book?
The thing is, that's what made Spider-Man so great, was the fact that he really was like it was in the comics.
Yeah, right.
So freaking cool. God, there's so many people in the Marvel Universe that you could kill off.
Except for the next one, Spider-Man is not going to be anything like the comic book.
Right.
He's going to be wearing the all-black suit.
He's going to go back to his red suit, though, at the end.
Yes.
It will have a happy ending, Mike.
And Captain America will come back to life.
Boy. You know it'll have a happy ending.
You are up on this. You really are. Patton goes, the new comic books come out every Wednesday, and every Wednesday where he's on the road, no matter where he is, Patton Oswalt stops at the nearest comic book store, he knows where they are, and gets the latest issues of his favorites.
Yeah, and I like the old ones. And like I said, last night I'm on eBay, because I find the comic that's got my letter printed in it.
Right.
And I put in the bid of $25, and right away it says, you've been outbid.
What was the bid at when you bid?
Was it nothing?
It had like 99 cents or whatever.
It didn't say anything. So I put in $25, and right away it says, you've been outbid. Mm-hmm. The new bid is $26.01. And I'm like, what the frick? I put in $30.
Yeah.
You've been outbid. The new bid is $31. So I go, this is how people lose their life savings on eBay.
Yeah.
All right. $40. Boom. You've been outbid. The new price is $40.01. So I'm out of my mind now. I'm clicking. I'm trying to find out what's going on, because I picture some guy in a room in Pakistan.
How much time is left in the bidding?
Something like 25 minutes. So I picture,
to be right at the end, that's when it goes crazy.
So I picture somebody sitting there, like, dicking around with me about this. And finally I found out that someone had put in an early reserve price. Is that how this works?
No, what happens is if you put in a bid, let's say you bid $1,000 on that comic book. It would only show...
It'd be worth it. It's not...
It would only show enough of that $1,000... to be the high bid. So the next highest bid was like $30.
Oh, what a gypsy. What I needed to know, and I didn't end up getting the comic, because what I needed to know was...
I'm confused with what he just said.
Here's what he's saying, Mike. For instance, if the other guy who had bid on the comic book already put in a bid of $500,
right,
eBay's not going to say to me, you have to beat $500. It will let me keep putting in bids.
Until like you try to beat it.
$55. It'll say, no, you've been out.
That's your maximum bid.
You have to just keep bidding up until you realize you passed the guy.
That's not fair.
Yeah, that stinks.
It's part of the game.
I didn't know that. I always thought you got to see what the top bid was.
And, you know, eBay has switched some stuff around.
And I like it much better when it's different. Buy it now. I don't even care if I'm being ripped off. It's like, screw it. I want to buy it now so I don't have to dick around with every TDNH out there.
I had no idea it was like that. I thought it was like a regular auction.
TDNH, yeah. Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Right.
It'll only show that to enough money to beat them. It only shows enough money to get to the hot, to be the top bidder.
What?
Now I don't understand.
You know.
So are you gonna? Did you win it?
No, I didn't.
You know why? You did not bid with confidence.
Ah.
You were tentative.
And you know what?
But if he thought he only had to bid $40 and somebody had bid $500, that's not fair.
Is that your slug line now that I'm in the world of eBay?
Yes.
A lot of people have that on
there.
Hold
on a second. If somebody bids $500 and you're not told that you have to bid $501, you're ripping off both people.
Right.
I mean, the people that want the item and the people that are selling it. That doesn't make... You have to guess what the bid is?
Keep going higher until you're the high bidder.
And eventually, I'm glad I knew that, because I thought there was someone just dicking with me, like, I'm just going to go $1 higher than what you put in.
Well, what if there is a difference of like $500, and you think, hey, I only have to go, and you got 25 minutes left.
Yeah.
I just think that's...
You'll never get there.
That's leaving yourself open for, like, fraud.
Well, not fraud. It's just he's put in that bid.
I think it's
he's
fixed.
Willing to.
It's fixed.
It is fixed.
As long as we're on the topic,
I got burned on eBay a long time.
That's true.
Remember
it's
that?
Batman number 162, and I really would like a better copy of the world's finest comic.
Send you a box
that also has my letter inside it.
Do you remember what your letter was to Cape and Cal Comment?
It was something about. I remember it was. I lived in Germany.
Hi.
My dad was stationed there. I think that's why the letter got printed. It was something like, even though I'm in German, I enjoy the adventures. I liked whatever episode. I love the fact that Batman was invisible and Superman was not.
Were you sophisticated? Were you media savvy enough in your youth to realize that little Germany connection was going to get you
right to the top of the pile.
Bingo. Anybody that bothered to read the letters to the comic book editors, and God, what losers we were. We could have been working our man or doing something else instead of reading it. Yes, that was something they loved putting, like, oh, look, a letter from Bangkok. Look, a letter from Tokyo.
Right. And that's when you were in Germany serving with Elvis. In the army.
I was there with Captain America, uh-huh, fighting the Nazis.
You know, about the time you were doing that, I was in my basement at home with some of the neighbor boys playing homoerotic war games.
Guards, bring him in. We used to, guards, bring him in.
Oh, then did you write a letter?
No.
No, you should have.
No.
Was there bondage?
No, we just, you know, I think one time I rubbed a blanket on it. that was about it, you know.
Well.
Yeah.
Faggot.
Okay. Yeah. Thankfully, it didn't scar you. It was No. Yeah. I think it was very normal role playing game.
You were the captain of the basement.
We switched off.
Sounds to me like you had a little of that DOT thing going.
You never got to that level, but with Dougie one time, it did get far, and I got out of the fort that we had built underneath the work table.
Uh-huh. Faggot.
I got out of there quickly. Could have gone either way back then,
sure.
In my opinion. I think that your environment says a lot about you as far as what direction you go in.
Well, you're a young man. You're exploring your body. Something happens.
You're in a fort. You know, you basically got a plywood table that your father put stuff on, and you've draped blankets over it, and that's the fort that you're in.
And then the next thing, Mike.
And the next time you wake up with a cranberry juice and your butt is bleeding.
And then you're like my friends back in junior high. Kind of DOT.
Yeah.
What does DOT stand for? Do our thing.
How old were they when that happened, though?
Like 12.
See, that's a little older than we were.
I talk about being homophobic, but we found out what they were doing. Mm-hmm. We just started pounding on them. Like, not beating them up in a malicious way.
Yeah.
You know the way kids, like, it's like, oh, get out of here!
Kind of taking the knuckle and dragging it into the skull.
Oh,
punching
on
the arm.
What? Get out.
Hey, you know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
Ah, youth.
You see, there were these cats when I grew up. These boys that went to my junior high, mm-hmm, that were in my little gang, they experimented on each other sexually.
I thought they were older than 12.
It was ninth grade, Mike. How old are you in ninth grade?
14.
Probably a little older than that. Okay, the 14. Anyway.
They knew their way.
They would say to each other something, DOT. We would just be out in a little group. They'd go, DOT, DOT. Finally, what the hell is DOT? We had to push one of them down on the ground. What is DOT? DOT is do our thing. And what is do our thing? We had this guy on the ground. Well, when our parents aren't home, we come over and we get naked, and he described what they do. Uh-huh. And in front of me, like, whoa!
That's and at that age,
wow!
Jeez.
Jesus!
That's pretty intense.
You do that, huh? Yep,
sure do. Did they obviously throughout high school, they probably, did you always say DOT?
One of them moved away.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't think that was the reason, but yeah.
One of them, how about the guy that had to stay behind? What a life he had.
Yeah, God knows how he would have turned out. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the one guy that I wish I could reconnect with, and I cannot say his name on the air. I cannot even say what his nickname was.
Sure, of course
on,
not.
On the air.
Of course not.
Because he has indicated to me in real life that he's embarrassed by it. He's got a wife and kids now. And,
sure. Yeah. And it was a little experimentation. Finding himself.
Oh, God.
Sometimes through that experimentation, you find your way.
Mm-hmm. Find out who you are.
You do.
You know, do it like I did with a teddy bear. You know what I'm saying?
That's more normal.
Just figure it out. Not with another boy.
Actually, blanket was by myself. Too,
blanket,
so
yeah.
Blanket was by myself, not in the fort.
Hello.
I kind of embellished that.
Don and Mike show.
But it was Dougie showed me.
He sure did, didn't he?
No, I mean, he showed me, you know.
But his thing?
Yeah. And I ran upstairs. And then my mom kicked him out of the house when he spit out a BLT that he didn't like.
Huh.
She made him leave. That's where your house drew the line.
That is magnificent, Dougie.
Yeah. Dougie, I won't mention last names.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Wallace.
Hi, Dougie.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello there.
Fresh. Dougie Fresh.
Dougie Fresh.
Hello, what's up?
How are you doing?
Okay, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
How you doing?
Why are you talking like that?
I have no clue. Sorry.
Okay.
Hey, I just wanted to let Don know that I've had about a dozen letters printed in various Marvel comics when I was younger. And
no. Show off.
And no, but here's the funny thing. Every damn one of them was either completely censored or rewritten.
Were they comics or was it Blue Boy?
They were cut Silver Surfer, Avengers, Spider-Man.
Maybe that's how they did it in the Marvel Universe. Mine that ran in DC Comics were absolutely as I wrote them in my little boy handwriting, crayons and, you know, lined paper and everything.
Yeah.
So you did that knowing that it might get printed if you made it authentic that way. Engineered.
One more call. Oh, I know. We got the holy water guy. Hold on a second. We got to do a break here. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hi, we're doing great. Thanks.
Just wanted to ask you guys, what color are my underpants?
What color are your underpants? I'm going to guess a orange.
You have detention.
I don't understand. Was he right? Is that because he was wrong and did she leave? Is she gone?
Up.
Wow.
She's gone.
You have detention. We all just stood here with our mouths open.
No one knew.
Nobody could. Yeah, go ahead.
Fifth grader.
Nobody could figure out what she was saying. Duh.
Guess the color of her underpants. Huh? I tried.
You didn't. Then she said something about detention, and we didn't find out if it was true.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
I'll say none.
Hello.
Of course you will.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Sorry. Hey, I just want to let you know they actually did make a really low budget, crappy version of Captain America. I mean, it was so crazy.
When you see news breaking, wait 24 hours. Then don't call. The Don and Mike Show.
Here's the thing.
I already mentioned it, friend.
And you obviously heard that discussion because you're calling about it.
Yeah.
So you were listening and not listening.
I heard you.
No.
Which time did you hear us?
You said that you didn't know if they actually made one or not.
You said something. No, it wasn't like that.
I believe I indicated that there was a cheap, low-budget Captain America movie that had been made.
Uh-huh.
I mean, unless you have definitive information about it, you're no more than a retarded piler-on.
Then I misunderstood you. But to get your hopes up, they are in the works of making a new one.
They're making a new movie?
I read today that Marvel is in the works for making an updated Captain America.
Well, how could they do that? They just killed him today.
Yeah.
Well, then it's going to be before he actually dies again. Or maybe they'll kill him again.
A retrospective. Hey, that'd be cool. Yeah. That'd be cool. Now, see, I'd go to one of those movies if they killed the superhero.
I don't think I can be your friend.
All right, well,
I don't think we should play together anymore. I really don't.
Maybe next time.
No, I'm going to tell my mom that I don't want you calling or coming by the house anymore.
I certainly won't. I have no idea where you even live.
You're creepy. Bye-bye. I don't want to be your friend anymore.
Okay, no problem.
Bye-bye. See you later.
Go off and bring the M&Ms to your pen pal. Jeez. So, you like comic books?
Going to the fort with Mike.
Hi, Dougie.
Let's see. Oh, I know. Holy water.
Okay.
Holy water. Holy water. Oh, Lord, holy water.
Holy water.
Hey, what happened to all my holy things? Oh, here we go. Over there. Holy water.
Holy hole in a donut.
No, it's holy water, boy wonder.
Holy mashed potatoes.
No, it's holy water.
Holy nightmare.
I don't know. It's something about sinners and holy water.
Holy Las Vegas.
Sinner. And let me see. All I know is that it's a guy about holy drinking water.
Holy ball and chain.
Is the guy selling holy drinking water?
Yes, he is, Don.
And his last name is German?
Yes, it is.
All right, we'll talk to him in just a moment.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Thou foul death spirits come.
Ow!
Out.
And remember, Ernest Ainsley didn't do it.
Amen.
Amen.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Program is paid for by the Ernest Angley Outreach Partners.
Come and lick the dot of Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right.
Holy caffeine.
It's a Jesus thing.
Holy fruit salad.
Holy fruit salad.
Holy heart failure.
I'm a sinner. How about you, Mike?
Big time, Don.
big time sinner.
We've been kicked out of the Catholic Church because we dared to divorce our bitch first wives.
Fallen. I love that expression. I don't know why, but I'm a fallen Catholic.
Fallen. That's the word they use.
Yep.
So we are officially sinners. I mean,
and I can't get up. I mean, in my estimation, yeah. I am fallen. I've fallen and I can't get up when it comes to the Catholic Church.
And I believe that I'm a sinner in so many ways besides just the Catholic Church's reading of if you're married and you get divorced.
Explain yourself.
Well, I'm an awful human being. I wish bad things on people.
Just for fun.
Sure, but I litter.
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Oh, boy, I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
You litter regularly.
Well, it's important I keep the inside of my car clean, Mike. I don't have to drive around outside. And I mean, literally, I don't have to drive around outside. I keep the inside clean. I don't care if the outside is dirty.
That happens.
I don't have to drive. If I was homeless, I wouldn't throw my stuff out the window because I wouldn't have a window to throw it out.
Right. I know something you and I both do. We both judge people unmercifully. That we don't even know when we're on the highways and byways. We do that out loud in many cases to if we have passengers in the car.
I've lied. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I lie repeatedly. I lied to Buzz when I told him I liked that shirt.
How are you on the 7 out of 10 ratio that you talked about before? You always said that if you followed 7 out of the 10 commandments, that was a pretty good score.
I think I'm pretty good with that. Yeah. I think I probably got 7 out of the 10.
Right.
You know, and
I've coveted.
That's a good barometer. You've what?
I've coveted.
What?
I've coveted.
I know. My neighbor's was. Yes. Yeah. I'm a sinner, too.
I've coveted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, and we're both like Jimmy Carter, haven't we had lust in our hearts before?
Yeah, and you're supposed to
atone
for that.
That's right.
I've never killed anyone.
I think we've all got that.
I don't want to answer that one.
Oh.
Let me see. Warning to sinners. If you're a sinner or evil in nature, well, that would be me. This product, Holy Water, from holydrinkingwater.info, may cause boiling, heat, sweating, skin irritations, rashes, itchiness, vomiting, bloodshot and watery eyes, pale skin color, and oral irritation.
And this is true because I've seen The Omen. Remember how Damien reacts to that holy water?
Let's welcome Brian German with two N's. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how you doing?
How you doing? Both Mike and I are sinners.
Yes.
We're actually pretty proud of that.
I thought all human beings were sinners, Brian.
Say that again?
I said I thought all human beings were sinners, and if that's the case, the way you describe your holy water, you should not touch it or drink it because it'll cause all this horrible stuff to happen.
Well, I think it really depends upon your particular faith on whether you may be a sinner or not.
Now, Brian, oh, dear. You know, there's no good can come out of that.
Brian, I want to tell you how, and we were kidding before you came on the air about sinning. I guess we have broken a couple of rules in the Catholic Church, but I've gotten past that in my own personal life because I think the Catholic Church is retarded.
Congratulations for being able to move by it, Don.
However, I'll tell you, I still have a pretty healthy belief in God, even though I've had some less than great circumstances thrown my way.
And I still live under their thumb.
And I want to tell you something. I think that by the time you get to heaven, a guy like me, who's kind of a dick, is going to get a free pass. But a guy like you that's selling water, that you are claiming to be holy water, you're going to be the guy that God pulls out of the line and says, excuse me, friend.
Here's the one-way ticket.
Yeah, I believe so. So, Brian, in a roundabout way, I am asking, how can you validate the fact that you have, in fact, holy water?
Good question.
Well, what we did was, in order to answer or help answer that question for the public, we did have an article done by the Stockton Record, which they...
Did you hold on a second. I don't mean to interrupt you, Brian. I really want to hear what you have to say, but did you say Stockton?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Did you say Stockton the Stockton Record?
Stockton Record, yes.
Is that Northern California Stockton?
Yes, that is.
That is where all the sinners are.
Is that right?
Oh.
You mean to tell us that your holy water comes from Northern California? How close are you to Sacramento?
About 45 minutes away.
Mm-hmm. Brian, before you go on about the Stockton Record, I think I should advise you that in Northern California, within probably about a 50 to 60 mile radius of the city of Sacramento, there's a well. And in that well is a gate and a gateway, and it glows red.
with the fires of hell, because I believe in that part of the world you are closer to hell. Please tell me you're not from there.
Am I from Stockton? No, we're based in Linden.
Linden, where is Linden, a suburb of Sacramento?
Linden is about 15 minutes east of Stockton.
Guilty. You're guilty. You're a sinner.
Oh boy, you have no idea.
Now, Brian, we're glad to pump up your website.
Mm-hmm.
My question for you at holydrinkingwater.info is, how do you sleep at night knowing that you fill up a bottle either from a hose or from a tap?
Don, I think it's Stockton or it's Linden. It's got to be a hose in the backyard.
From a hose. And how do you pass that off as God's water? You tell me that, Mr. German, with two N's.
Well, I think what you have to do is take a little bit of faith and hope that we're doing exactly what we're saying we're doing.
How much of your profits from the water go to the church or go to God's work?
Goes to God's work?
Yes, God's work. And please don't repeat a question with a question.
Sinner.
Well, my connection is just a little bit rough, so I'm trying to make sure I understand.
Well, listen, you ever wonder why that is?
Sinner, how much of your profits go to the house of God?
Actually, there hasn't been any profit.
Yeah, you haven't sold any yet?
Oh, yeah, we've sold lots of water.
What do you do with the money?
A profit is something that you have up and above the cost of the production
it's
of the water,
water
and advancement of the company.
Hey,
and so
hold on, dummy. You're going to a tap, or you're going to a stream, or you're going to, as I said, a hose, and you're filling up bottles. Really? Really? Hold on a second, dude. It's a nice concept you have, but really...
And what do you charge for holy water?
That's a good question. Thank you, Mike.
We charge 99 cents a bottle, and it's $19.99 a case of 24.
And how much have you sold?
The last count was around 4,000 bottles.
That sounds to me like about $4,000.
You should be making money hand over sinner fist.
Well, I don't know.
Well, tell us where the cost. Hold on, Brian. Where did the cost come from?
The cost comes from the bottling of the water, the purification, the labeling.
The purification?
The distribution.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you get somebody to purify water so it becomes holy water?
It doesn't become holy water until after it's been purified and bottled.
Oh, so it's purified, bottled, and then blessed.
That's correct.
Have you gotten any flack from our aforementioned Catholic Church? You know, they give it out for free right
yes.
there. And, well, you know, you don't want to drink it, though, because a lot of people put their hands in it.
Yeah, no. We have gotten a little bit of flack from them, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, Brian, how long have you been a sinner?
I've never been a sinner that underneath my faith.
What is your religion? What would you call it?
Well, I'm Lutheran.
Well, wait a minute. Lutherans preach that we're all sinners.
That may be.
Well, listen, you are a sinner because
you're...
You can
tell I'm talking to Northern California.
Yeah, that's right. On the bottom level of this high rise of sinning, you're in the basement. You're the guy that's filling up bottles with water and selling them as God's water. Right there, that's a sin.
We're not just filling up bottles of water. We're purifying the water. And then,
please, they do that at Evian too, but they're not saying that they're selling God's water.
And I see here that you're looking for different holy people to bless the water, and you're really not discriminating. Again, you got preachers, you got padres, monks, vicars, rabbis, rectors. I mean, who's blessing your water right now?
We have one Catholic and one Anglican clergy. Right now,
you have a Catholic priest that's blessing your water.
Yes, one of the forms.
How many
boys?
How many
religion?
How many boys has he molested?
I don't know if he's molested any of them.
And so you bottle this
that's
water.
That's a good answer.
You
that makes me feel good.
So there are boys about.
Are there boys about?
When you're bottling the water, when you're bottling them, purifying the water.
Do you have young boys do it?
No.
Shirtless young boy?
Are they just like a bunch of Oompa Loompas in the factory?
Your droid?
It's done inside of a purification factory, yes.
What's on your label? What's your label look like on this water?
It has a steeple inside of it, a church.
As a church
and it
steeple.
Has,
you bastard. You know what you are? You are the devil. You really are the devil.
You think so?
How in good conscience, really? You know better than Ernest Angley or one of those fakers that gets on TV, friend, and says he's spoken to God.
No, I've not said that I've spoken to God, and I haven't promised anything that this water can do.
But I want to get back to the sinner thing.
Bottled purified water.
You say you're not a sinner. But I thought, really, if you're a Lutheran, I mean, doesn't the Lutheran faith teach that we're all sinners and we have to atone for that?
I've never been taught that.
And if you're just selling purified water, why don't you just sell it as purified water?
Because we're trying to put a mess into the bottle to promote good behavior.
Oh, to promote good behavior?
Like what? Yes. Like what? Like no sex? Before
no.
marriage? I'm just wondering.
Like maybe, go ahead.
What type of good behavior?
Oh, well, that hopefully people might, after consuming this water, just think a little bit more before they take any bad actions that might, you know, harm somebody else or
hold
harm
on,
themselves.
Has this been sanctioned by any clergy?
Of course not, Mike.
Well, it must have been since it was blessed by two clergy.
The priest? What's the name of the priest?
The kid toucher priest?
No, I don't have him with me now.
You don't have him with it?
But he is a kid toucher.
No, he's not.
Are you looking to go wide with this this situation? It looks like you're trying to get a lot of different holy people. Are there any holy people?
Are
there any holy people you would not allow?
I can't answer that question now.
Because
there
I have it on good authority.
We have not.
My radio partner, at early in our relationship, was ordained a minister.
Yes, I was. Whatever that thing you sent a card in and the Church of whatever Looney Tunes or whatever.
You still don't. You don't have it lying around anywhere.
It's somewhere, Mike.
He still got it. He still got his license.
It's somewhere.
Well, I'll tell you what. Fill out one of those apps on our website, and we'll see what we can do.
Brian, I want to tell you something, sir, that we're glad to promote your holy water. It seems to me, though, that this is a one-way ticket to hell.
I mean, unless it's the real deal, Brian, you're going to be in a heap of trouble.
You know, it is
the real deal.
You might be sharing a bunk with Saddam Hussein. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I just thought of
it. I don't have anything to worry about on that.
Well, you have this sinner warning that you'll get, like, burning, intense heat, sweating, skin irritation. Have you seen anybody drink this water and have that reaction?
Absolutely not.
Really? Then how can you make that statement? That's false advertising, sir.
No, we're not advertising. We're placing a disclaimer on there to help protect the product.
Would you like Mike and I to endorse your product, being as we are world-class sinners?
I don't know. Maybe what you guys should do is come out with that six bottle.
A what bottle?
A what?
That 666 bottle. Bottled water, you know, they call it fire water.
Like water from hell. Hell's water.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fires of hell. That's not a bad idea.
That'd be a good energy drink.
And
there you go.
Put a little caffeine in there. Hey, would you send us some free holy water so we can try it on the air and see if we break out into pale skin color and oral irritations?
Sure, we'll do that.
With rashes, vomiting, bloodshot, watery eyes, pale skin color, and oral irritations?
That's correct.
Very good. We'd like to try it.
All right. Well, listen.
All right.
We're glad to promote your website, holydrinkingwater.info. I don't know if anyone's told you this or not. We've been kidding you a lot. You're a hell of a salesman. You really sell the product.
We
sir.
See good things for holydrinkingwater.info.
You have won a couple of sinners over. We've been kidding you, good-naturedly kidding you, but it seems that you really believe in the product.
And I really hope,
I do.
I hope you find a priest, churchman, clergyman, cleric, curate, divine, ecclesiastic, elder, father, friar, holy man, llama, monk, padre, pontiff, preacher, rabbi, rector, sky pilot, or vicar.
That's right, especially that sky pilot.
Sky pilot?
Mm-hmm.
listen to him.
Yeah.
We'll see you in hell, Brian.
No, won't see me there.
Yes, we will.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we will. We'll both be mounted on your mother.
Oh, my God.
No.
Yes, we will. And your mother, we're going to say to your mom, what are you doing? And she's going to go, I don't know. I was in heaven, and they pulled me out of heaven because my kids started selling fake holy water.
No, that won't be us, and we drink a lot of the water, too. So.
And then you will both cry out, oh, we wish we were back in our Sacramento suburb.
Because the bottom line is, everybody knows, nothing good comes out of Sacramento.
Yeah, and what you want to do, instead of selling this holy water, you want to look at some of these houses with wells and see if you can find the gate to hell out there.
Yeah, I really don't have to worry about that much.
All right, we'll see.
You're going to be walking in some field, just like out there trying to find yourself. You go, fall through a hole, and all of a sudden you're gonna be like a commercial. Am I going through the Earth's surface all the way to China? And it's like, no, all of a sudden it's gonna be, hey, welcome to hell.
Or he's just riding his bicycle one day and he said, man, it doesn't look like thunderstorms. Lightning bolt.
All right, well, good luck, Brian German, with two N's.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for talking to us, Brian.
Do you like Germans?
Okay.
Do you like Germans?
Do I like Germans?
Yeah.
I don't dislike anybody.
There you go. Oh, that's very holy of you.
I don't like Germans. You know why? I never forget.
Why?
I never forget. You hear what I'm saying?
You don't forget, huh?
I don't forget. How about you, sinner?
I'm not a sinner. So
yes, you are. Yes, you are. Have you forgiven the Germans?
Have I forgiven the Germans?
Don't answer a question with a question.
I even forgive you.
You even forgive us?
Wow. Yes.
You forgive us for what? We've given you free advertising.
We've been told that we're unforgivable and unforgettable.
I don't think that's true of anybody.
Mm. I tell you, I wonder if you get the vomiting and the bloodshot eyes at the same time. Or what if the bloodshot eyes come after the vomiting?
Yeah. Well, we'll
see what happens when we send you the water and you drink it.
How's it taste?
It tastes great.
Doesn't taste like feet?
Nope.
Okay.
Tastes like purified water.
Mm-hmm.
What if I want to...
I mean, that's up to her.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
I was just trying to get something really crazy to do with the water.
Holy, holy, holy.
What if I wanted to wash my genitals with the water?
Well, that's up to you and her, I guess.
No, just me.
Well,
just me washing myself.
I've got that mental picture in my head right now.
Scrub-a-dub-dub.
You sitting on the end of the tub. Sploosh. Little basin below you and a bottle in your right hand.
My loofah.
Oh, you're going to throw a loop into it, too.
Well, don't forget, did we discuss hair?
Careful.
Hair.
You guys are pretty wild,
right.
Aren't you?
Oh, we're wild. We have a lot of fun, bro.
We're wild. Yep.
That's what are we
good.
Doing?
It sounds like you have a good station there to listen to.
What's that? What?
I said it sounds like you have a real good station there to listen to.
Sounds like you are Captain Retard. I swear to God you are.
But you know what? That holy drinking water is going to be flying off the shelves now.
Uh-huh. Thank you. We do have someone much more important on the other line. We do have to move along.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. You have a good day.
Bye-bye. See you, sinner.
Bye-bye.
That's Brian German. And
two N's.
He was fun.
What a tool.
Brian German. And
what a tool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And from that area.
Yes.
From that part of the country.
Where the well... And the gate and hell.
Now let's see. Was that Sonny on the phone?
Yes, so we should break.
Let's break. Now, when we come back, this dude's last name is...
Croto.
Right. The character, we were talking about Popeye Doyle the other day.
Yes.
This guy that we're going to have on next, his character was... Who played him? Did Roy Scheider play him in The French Connection?
I believe it was the Scheider character, yeah. But he'll be able to clear all this up.
This is a guy who also had a lot to do with the TV show Cops.
Oh.
And... has a brand new show.
So is the character of Popeye Doyle based on this guy?
No, Popeye Doyle was Gene Hackman.
Okay.
This guy's character was Roy Scheider.
Okay.
In the French.
So the partner of Popeye Doyle.
Right. He also had a lot to do with the TV show Cops, and now he has a new TV show on A&E about the mob in Miami.
Oh, boy.
I got all that right?
Sounds good to me.
Cool.
Well, do you know or are you guessing?
No, that is true.
Okay. Thank you, Rob.
You're not faking, are you?
You'll never know.
Okay. Just drink some holy water.
Sinner. All right, we'll be right back with Sonny.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Before we talk to Sonny Grasso, a word from our sponsor.
Some interesting men at this party. Oh, Marlboro men. No wonder. Like to be introduced? Let me introduce you to some real men. You mean Marlboro men?
Yeah. You like Marlboro?
Sure. After all, it's a cigarette designed for men that women like. Why don't you smoke Marlboro?
The Don and Mike Show.
Thank you. Solid.
Cow geek. The Don and Mike Show.
That was...
just a commercial for Marlboro.
I love Marlboro, man.
Now, let me see. The great Sonny Grosso is on the phone. Real-life New York City cop. I think we mentioned featured a French Connection. We were talking about that movie yesterday.
What a great movie that was.
Independent of this guy. We were talking about the French Connection yesterday.
Right.
As I mentioned, he's got a new show on A&E starring Donnie Wahlberg. Starts on Monday nights about the mob in Miami. And here he is right now. Tough guy, Sonny Grosso. Hey, Sonny.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, hi, Sonny. How are you?
How are you?
How are you?
We are fine. How How are you? Thanks for being on the show. It's a weird coincidence that we have you on today to promote your new A&E show. We were discussing the French Connection yesterday or the day before. We were talking about Gene Hackman movies, and the character of Roy Schneider was based on you, right?
Right, right. And I just tell you a funny thing that you said. I just got a call from Billy Freakin about an hour ago, who directed that movie, and he told me that there was some chase. I don't know where the hell it was. Maybe it was in L.A., and this chase ensued after the cops had made a stop and made an arrest, and the guy took their gun or whatever it is and jumped into a car and commandeered a car, and they chased him, and this thing went on for a little while, and this is a while back, and then they caught the guy, and either the guy was shot or hurt, so he sued the police department and whatever, and it went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and Scalia said the other day when they were making a ruling on this thing, he said, "My God, that chase must have been as fantastic as the French Connection."
Oh, there you go.
So Billy said, "We've reached the Supreme Court now." You know.
And were you a consultant on the French Connection?
Yeah.
I mean, did you help them out as far as that that heroin trafficking stuff that you busted back then?
Yeah, and I was also in it. I had a part, not as big as Eddie's, who played the lieutenant, but I played an FBI agent named Phil Klein. But I had, you know, Billy gave us a break because if you can fathom this, that for my own life story, there was $300 in the budget for technical advisors. So Eddie and I got $150 apiece.
Wow. That's amazing. Wow. That really is.
But they gave us a run of the picture contracts, which from the moment the Teamsters picked up the trucks till they parked them, Eddie and I were on. So we did okay. You know?
Oh, that's great.
You did okay. After the French Connection, what type of a career did you have with TV and with movies as far as being a consultant to what really goes down in the world of good guys and bad guys?
Well, the very next day, on the last day of shooting underneath the Triborough Bridge, Billy tells me, jump in the car, and he has the teams to take us over to 126th Street and 2nd Avenue, where Filmways used to have a studio. And we walk inside, and they're building the interior of the Godfather set.
Oh, my God.
So he introduces me to Francis, and he says to Francis, I had 100 cops in the French Connection, friends of mine, that to this day, their kids and their families get such a thrill being part of a movie that won 5 Academy Awards and was nominated for 8. And so he told Francis, you couldn't make a movie in New York without Grasso's Gorillas, and that was the cops. We drove cars, we did crowd control, they acted, and we convinced Billy we knew how to say something other than pull over and give me your license and registration.
And I think it's really important that you don't get as much of that today as you did back then. If you really want to see the way it was and the way cops were, you look at the French Connection, and I mean, that's one of the things the movie gets accolades for, is that it just is so accurate. It's such an accurate depiction of a New York City cop.
Well, you know, we took Billy out for about 3 weeks. Then we took Hackman and Scheider out for about 3 weeks after that. So all of the things that you see in the movie, we actually did. And, you know, there's two black bar scenes in the movie. And one bar, we went to Phoenix House to all the people that Eddie and I had some interaction with as far as
some
locking
interaction
them up.
With. Okay.
Yeah, and we put them in one bar scene. They all agreed to do it. And the other bar scene was all black cops and detectives and police woman. So I had a lot of fun, you know, with that and sharing it with all the cops, and we had a good time in 16 degree weather. But you know, Billy's a genius, and right after that he went on to do The Exorcist. So
yeah, I was going
to
say William Friedkin directed The Exorcist as well, right?
To Live and Die in L.A. and The Brink's Job.
I didn't know he did To Live and Die in L.A.
Yeah,
cool.
He did To Live and Die in L.A. too.
And is this true? Someone just handed me a note. Did you produce some episodes of Pee Wee's Playhouse?
Yeah.
How do you go from the French Connection to Pee Wee's Playhouse? And what episodes did you produce of that?
I would rather see you in person and tell you about that.
Okay. All right.
Oh, that's funny.
Fair enough. All right.
We are Pee Wee fans, though. We really
everybody
are.
Everybody who knows the business asks me about that.
Well, it's surprising because you think of you think of French Connection, all the other stuff. What a resume. The Godfather.
Right.
Did you work on Godfather 2?
No. Godfather 2 was was came out of Egan's very fertile mind. None of that had happened. But, I mean, you know, and if I wanted to be involved in that, I had to go to Marseille for 16 weeks. And at that time, having almost never flown before except in the service, I wasn't about to go. But, you know, it's been great to me. And, look, you and I are talking on the phone. And even though you said and your fellow John said he appreciates me coming on, the real thing about you guys having me come on the show is that I just read the post, today's post, and Linda Stasi gave the movie 4 stars, which is like, you know, which is so exciting to me as a producer. But unless I get to talk to people like you who have this vast audience, who's going to find this on A&E? Who's going to go surfing around till they find it? So it takes shows like yours and other people's, and that's what I've been trying to do and get the actors to do, so you can get the word out to come and see this movie.
Well,
so
let's talk about it then, because I'm a fan of Donnie Wahlberg and Marky Mark. And both, I mean, sometimes they're interchangeable, the two of them. They're
I mean, they're both really talented actors.
They're very good actors.
Do you go back to when he was in New Kids on the Block?
Oh, yes. Sure. Of course we do. How did you end up with Donnie Wahlberg, and what bad guy does he play in this show, which airs Monday night on A&E?
In fact, Donnie doesn't play a bad guy.
Oh, he's a cop.
Yep.
Okay.
And Jason Gidrick, who's marvelous as the nightclub owner, who was partners with, Ingrid Caceres, who was Madonna's girlfriend or whatever she was, and between having Madonna in the club and Versace and his sister and all the ball players and everything, it transcribed. You know, it turned South Beach into a place where even the people in the city government there built the place up, and really it became a really glorious spot to be. But, you know, whatever this guy had gone through back in Staten Island before he moved down there catches up with him during
the book. Sonny, I want to interrupt you here, because this is taking place. What this movie, and give us all the information now. This takes place what time and what time frame?
Takes place in the mid-90s.
Okay.
And it takes place in South Beach. And we did all the exteriors in South Beach and all the interiors in Puerto Rico. And, you know, a lot of nice music. And, you know, look, the way things are getting in this world, you know, besides them having the Sopranos on their network now. So listen, Sonny Grasso, that's me from the French Connection. Phil Ramone, who did all the Sinatra's duets albums, does all of Billy Joel's music and Streisand, and just did the music with the record with Tony Bennett, the duets album. Phil does the music for this, and Nick Pileggi, who wrote Casino.
Oh yeah.
He did the screenplay. So,
oh, wow.
You know, where else can you get three Italians to have this kind of success? You know?
It's so funny that you mentioned Nick Pileggi, because after the movie came out,
right,
I got the book, and it's one of those things where you read the book after you've seen the movie and you realize how true to the book the movie really was.
Right.
Hey, can you give us... I'm sorry, I kind of stopped the entire thing there.
No, but I mean, Nick Pileggi stops us because, I mean, that's such a... That's
we recognize the name. Yeah. Can you tell us the basic premise? You mentioned it's a guy who comes from New York down to South Beach, and...
During the early glory days of South Beach.
And yeah, he's a real handsome guy and a hard-nosed guy in the sense that, you know, if I go to a restaurant up here called Rao's, and years ago, when I was a young kid in East Harlem, I lived around the corner from Rao's. The guy who owned the restaurant was partners with Dutch Schultz in the numbers business. Well, that's long time gone, but the people still come up to Rao's just for the hint of something happening. And I happened to be in Rao's when a guy shot somebody in there, and I caught the guy. So I thought that the whole thing would disappear and people would not want to bring their families up there. The sauce that they sell tripled, and the request for admission into the place quadrupled. So I really scratched my head about all of us in this world or what we respect.
Like a good murder to improve business.
Well,
right?
That's it. And this guy here was a real knock
on the
guy, and he had people come in, you know, that people knew from the neighborhood. And so it got to be the place
to
be.
Look around,
Cafe. this Ingrid, whose father was a multimillionaire, and Madonna come in there, they wound up having everybody in sports, and he was made Man of the Year. And, you know, guys, instead of accepting what they got, they get a little greedy, and little by little, you know, by the time this movie ends, you don't want to see it happen to Jason, because the girls in my office fell in love with him. But little by little, that greed and that lust for power and wealth and everything, you know, kind of destroys him. You know what I mean?
Well, South Beach, I mean, you can't go wrong with that. I mean, it's so hot right now still. You know?
How much can you get away with on A&E? Were you worried about the constraints? Like, I know what you mentioned, The Sopranos. They edit down The Sopranos, and I'm not just talking about profanity. I'm talking about the use of violence, which is necessary, and stuff like this. How much of a constraint was that?
Well, no, I mean, they were pretty good about that, and we would discuss different things, but they were pretty good, you know, much more lenient than some of the major networks. Although, listen, I'm listening to the major networks, and I'm hearing them say things and do things that I just watched an episode of Dirt last night, and what happened at the end of that thing was made my hair stand up.
I heard that said. That pushes the envelope a little bit.
Yeah, so to me, you know, everybody's coming, you know, around, and I don't mean, look, I still go for the curtain blowing out the window, you know what I mean, and the water flashing up on the beach like they did with Deborah Kerr and Burt Lancaster.
Right, right.
So I'm not into, you know, or if I had my preference, I would still try to keep it up to your imagination. You know what I mean?
But the crooked cop in The Godfather, when he's eating the spaghetti and he gets it in the head, you know, as far as violence goes, I think that's good for the story. I think I'll never forget that scene.
You mean Mo Green?
Yeah. Well, there's Mo Green. That's a good one. But I think when Michael, maybe it was Godfather 2 instead of Godfather 1.
Yeah.
When Michael walks in and shoots the crooked police commissioner, the chief of police.
No, you want to know something? You want to hear something about that?
I sure do.
I set that scene up with Coppola. And
that's an amazing scene as far as like a murder scene on film. Yeah. I really think it's one of the best.
Well, it was real because I handled a couple of cases like that where the guy was shot out in Brooklyn when they found him with the cigar in his mouth.
Oh, my God.
And now it turns out that somebody's saying the detective put the cigar in his mouth. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
But anyway, I set that thing up, and then the props guy came over to Francis and said, what kind of a gun you want to use? So he said, well, why don't we use Sonny's? So he looked at me and he said, do you mind? I said, you kidding? No. I said, that'd be great. So now he tells me that the gun is worth $75,000 on eBay. You know?
So that is your gun that Al Pacino uses in that scene.
That's exactly right.
Man, I'm so glad I brought it up.
We've discussed The Godfather so many times.
Right.
I think the greatest killing scene in there is James Caan when he's at the Toll.
That's pretty famous.
When he's at the Toll. I was one of the guys that shot him at the Toll.
Oh, you're not the guy that kicks him, are you?
No.
Wow, that's amazing.
I want to tell you a little story.
Please do.
Every night, we'd go over what was going to happen the next day if it involved cops and if it involved wise guys, you know? And so he gives me this piece that we're going to do. That's the thing. We built that in Long Island. That whole thing was built. We built the toll booths, and we built that little bit of highway that he drives up to. So I look it over, and before he went home, he said, well, what'd you think? I said, well, you know, to tell you the truth, you're the director, but as far as I'm concerned, you got five guys shooting 45s at Jimmy Caan. Not only wouldn't you find Jimmy Caan, you wouldn't find the car he drove up in. So he said, let me think about that, you know, and he went home. So the next day I'm getting my hair cut because it was 1940, and I'm sitting in a chair, and he comes over, and he's got coffee and a donut, and I get up with the sheet around me, you know, and he gives me the coffee and everything. He said, look, I thought about what you said, and he said, you know, I know you guys are the expert in firearms, and, you know, I took that as a compliment, but most cops don't even know what's going on with their own gun, you know what I mean?
So you switch from the 45s to the machine guns, right?
Yeah, so I said, that and he said, look, I thought about what you said, and I know you're an expert. And he says, but listen, you can't kill a big person like Jimmy Caan is in this movie just with a 38 or just with a knife, or you got to kill him bigger than life. And I remember I walked away from that guy, and I did a radio show like this, and the guy said, well, what were you thinking as you walked away from Coppola? I was doing a television show, not a radio show. And I says, well, I don't think anybody's ever going to hear from this guy doing this kind of a scene. And he cut from that, too. And now the winner of the Academy Award. So I learned that it isn't about teaching people. That could be down the line. Education is not what I'm there for.
Right.
You know, I'm there to entertain people.
Absolutely.
If I'm going to be in this business. The one thing this movie does is entertain the hell out of you. Beautiful music that Phil Ramone and Rob Mouncey, who worked on the music with him. He does all the music for Sex in the City. And so you got great music, you got beautiful, beautiful girls, and you got two of the best actors I ever worked with as a team. And I worked with Scheider, and I worked on The Godfather, and I wrote a movie called The Seven Ups that...
I remember that movie, yeah.
Yeah, Scheider played me in that movie again, you know?
All right. Well, the great Sonny Grasso, the TV show is called, the movie is on A&E, it's called The Kings of South Beach. Monday night at 9 Eastern, 8 Central on A&E.
And I want to just leave you with one thought. A guy just came in here and told me that because, you know, all these, we all work, we work hard, and we're right in the middle of income tax, right?
Yeah.
So if you put the word the and IRS together, what do you get?
C-H.
Write it down.
C-H-E.
Theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs. That's right, because everything we make goes to them.
Thank you, Sonny. It's always nice having a friend of ours on the show.
Sonny, thank you very much.
Ciao.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Ciao.
Man, oh man, what a guy.
You know, you throw this stuff out. I knew he was part of The Godfather, but I had no idea he was part of those scenes. That's great. That's fun. Yeah. I'm gonna look forward to watching this.
I'm glad that came up because you were right about the Pacino scene, but I was right too about the James Caan scene.
Your scene, I think, is widely considered. That is probably the most famous death scene in film. I mean, really.
It's the best, but how great is it? Yeah, I was there with the gun. I'm one of the guys that shot Jimmy. Yeah.
So what they're saying is, what he's saying is, if they did it the way they did it, with those machine guns, there wouldn't be anything.
Pop gun, right.
He's saying that the way they were shooting him with those Tommy guns, there wouldn't be anything left of the car, much less James Caan. I think that's what he was saying.
I thought he was saying...
It would be more believable if you took him and you shot him with, with a 38 or something like that, because he'd be kind of chopped up with the...
I always get confused with the caliber of a gun.
Yeah.
You know, just like... So Francis Ford Coppola wanted him to use a smaller gun, and he had them
No, Grasso, Sonny Grasso wanted him to be more realistic. He said they wouldn't shoot him like that. Right. But Francis Ford Coppola said to Sonny Grasso, no, he's a big character. We got to make this bigger than life.
And he
turned out to be very, very correct in that.
Yeah. I'm glad you're half of the brain figured that out.
Well, the other part was removed.
Thank you, Mike.
That's fun. That's a lot of fun talking to that guy.
Anyway, let's plug that show again. The Kings of South Beach, Monday night, A&E. 9 o'clock.
He sold it to at the end. Beautiful girls, good music.
Good music, good stars.
Yeah, watch it, guys. Watch it or I'll lock you.
He's one of those guys, even though he was a good guy, he was a cop.
He was a cop.
He sure does sound like a mobbed up guy, doesn't he?
Well, back in the day, there was there was a real fine line between.
Fine line, Mike.
Yes, but he's still with us and still making movies, thank God. We haven't done that in a long time. Because The Sopranos haven't been on. We haven't had a chance.
No, it's not. Thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Hopefully, Sonny makes this movie, Kings of South Beach. Nobody gets hurt on the set, thank God.
Thank God. We'll be right back. You did it perfect. God damn. You're a good mimic.
Thank God.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let's go to Bob in New York. We don't have a lot of time, but hello, Bob.
Hi, how are you? Anyway, I want to be concise. My question is, I have had cancer in the past that I've had removed, and it was not up my colon. But since I feel that I might be susceptible to other cancers, I wanted to know, nutritionally speaking, are there any supplements one could take? And I also wanted to know if colon cancer can be transmitted by giving someone a dirty Sanchez.
Dr. Michael.
We haven't found a way to transmit colon cancer yet, fortunately.
Oh, so if I give someone a dirty Sanchez, they probably won't get cancer from the stool on my finger.
It's not communicable.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but you need to be screened. But know that even if you eat healthy, if there's family history also of colon cancer, that impacts you with potential...
Right, there hasn't been a family history of colon cancer, but do you think I have a colon problem since my farts never smell?
Well, I think that we probably don't have any other answers for you today.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. The Don and
Mike Show. He's always there, isn't he?
He really is.
Oh, damn.
Thank God.
You know what we say?
say about that guy, the Belcher?
He prefers to be treated like a dog. And also a toilet.
Like a backward brain fart. The Don and Mike Show.
Yo, look out! Look out!
Look out! Let me see. I'm looking on our website here, donandmikewebsite.com. I like looking at the message boards. A lot of nice fans writing good stuff about the show.
Yeah, but whose head is on whose body?
Oh, I'm not even in the Photoshop section.
Oh, okay.
This is just in the message board part. Chad in Spokane, Washington writes, Don and Mike, why you leave us hanging? I don't think they concluded the coverage of the Jerry Lewis Telethon 2006 tapes.
Wow, he remembers. Wow.
I want to hear They Never Walk Alone critique. And then a guy named D's Nuts writes in, the Jerry tapes 2006 were delivered. 2005 was not. However, here is a list of bits not delivered last year that were on another board. Here is the list.
These are this is the list of things we didn't do that we said we were going to do?
Yeah, some of our fans are upset about this. Let me see. Buzz's airport security incident.
Yes.
Now, I feel responsible here that no. Buzz, like, gives me a story that he says, and I mentioned a couple of times, hey, Buzz, don't forget to tell us this.
Right.
And people think that it's some life-changing story.
No.
Do you even remember what it was?
Vaguely. And the reason we ended up, not telling it is because days afterward, we had the whole liquid explosives scare, and so any complaint I had about the transportation security at that point would have been untimely.
What I remember is you were hassled by security.
Yeah, it turned I had an ugly moment with an officer.
An ugly moment. Yeah.
Then we have the ass play gay moment story from summer vacation 2002.
Right.
That's a secret that will go to the grave. But Frida did not want me talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
okay.
Pretty simple.
All right.
Then you have the Frida in Japan story. You know, again, I'm sorry, some secrets go to the grave with my sweet love. Rob's rendition of Horton Hears a Jew, that was really just a thought.
Yeah, a random thought.
Yeah, he never really did put together Horton Hears a Jew.
Wait a minute. Maybe I did.
All right, well, think about it. Resolution between Buzz and the pool people.
Those were the pool people that Buzz, that were making all that noise with the swim meets, and Buzz was planning some clandestine activity.
And again, we can't really follow up on that because the stuff that Buzz wanted to do and may actually have done, he did not want to speak about on the radio.
Exactly.
Right.
One lost their life, though.
Next
not
one,
yet.
The on-air Hugh Hamilton interview. I think that's something we've talked about we wanted to do, but I don't even know what radio station Hugh Hamilton works at.
Good afternoon.
Two messages left, two calls not returned by
all
Hugh.
Right.
So
this is Hugh Hamilton. Ha, ha. A final resolution about what happened to the homeless bunt.
Oh, Lisa. Remember the girl who was living in the radio station?
Well, who cares? Going to the old neighborhood and interview the people at Don's old house.
Yeah. Still in the offing.
We'd like to do that.
Yeah. Right.
Interviews and bits from the neighborhoods at the new studio in Rockville.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there really are no bits we can do with these people.
They don't really like us.
But if that's all you got, well, then I'd consider our job done as DJ.
I think we're doing a good job.
There you go. We've tried to address your list of needs.
There are your concerns.
And that's accurate. We did cover Telethon 2006 to the label.
And I really feel empty right now because we're not finishing one very important story about Buzz in the pool. Buzz left a baby Ruth in the pool. That's the end of the story.
Mike, I'm afraid that I must break in with true breaking news.
Breaking news.
We have now been given, I'll dial him up, Robbie. We've been given the opportunity, thanks to Patton Oswalt, to talk to Ed Brubaker, who is the writer of Captain America, the comic book, to find out if, in fact, Cap is really dead.
Very good. I know you were concerned about this earlier.
Right?
Deeply concerned.
Three, two, oh, he's God, expecting your call.
And we want to thank Patton Oswalt for getting us this guy's phone number.
Yeah.
Right? And this is the guy that writes the comic. He didn't create it. He writes it.
He writes it. Remember, Patton had already called him in a panic.
Yeah. Serious conversation. This is serious business.
We just get into your car. I'm flipped out. They kept out. They killed off Captain America today. And I'm very upset. Patton Oswalt was upset. And Mike is trying to mock us. Hello, is this Ed?
Yeah.
Hi, Ed. It's the Don and Mike Show. Thanks for being on the air with us.
Hi, Ed.
I'm on the air already?
Wow. Yep. I hope that's okay. Our buddy Patton Oswalt gave us the number.
Yeah.
I'm a huge comic fan like Patton is, and you're the writer for Captain America.
Yeah.
Please, Ed, please tell me, from the Marvel bullpen or whatever you call it now, please tell me you've not really killed off Captain America.
Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
Ed, really. Ed,
I promise we'll do whatever we can do to make this the most sold-out edition of Captain America ever. But you cannot kill off Captain America. I mean,
there are so many books, right?
There are so many other lame superheroes in the Marvel Universe. Captain America is an icon, my friend.
Oh, I know. He's been my favorite comic book character since I was a little kid.
Ed,
I first bought Captain America at the PX in Gitmo in 1971.
Did you kill him, Ed? Did you write this one?
Yeah, I wrote it.
You know, you're starting to remind me, Don, of Annie Wilkes in Misery right now.
I was just gonna. Yeah,
are you gonna bring Ed here back to the cabin and make him write a new story?
Ed, I don't believe you, sir.
At the comic book store, there was a guy who saw me signing the copies for the clerks behind the counter, and he said, "You wrote this?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Aren't you worried someone's gonna show up at your house?" And I was like, I hadn't actually considered it.
Oh my God! Oh, wow.
Ed, well, one of the things. The rear view on the way home.
One of the things we've been told, and I don't know the comic book world as well as my partner here, but we've been told that these superhero characters can come back to life. Isn't that true, Ed?
Well, Captain America has died before and came back, so you know, nothing's out of the question.
There
but
you
I
go.
Tried to give him as realistic and human of a death as I could get away with.
Ed, I just want to say, I seriously love you. You're a bastard. You killed my, you killed my Captain America. What's next? Is Iron Man next on your hit list?
It's going to be so cool, though, for like the next like 6 months to the year of the book is so cool because it's all about that feeling that you're having right there. It's all about how the characters, how does Bucky feel without Captain America in the world?
Yeah, let's not even talk about Bucky. Mind you, Bucky is Captain America's Robin.
Is he now?
They're not fags. Like,
I didn't know what was going on with
Bucky's
that.
Bucky's not Captain America's Robin because Batman and Robin are like father and son, whereas Bucky and Captain America are only like 4 years apart in
age.
Like
his sidekick, though, his Bucky.
All right.
He was his sidekick, yeah.
Well, what is Bucky going to do?
Well, he's going to be really mad, and
yeah.
Since the modern day version of Bucky is a guy who is a highly trained assassin, he's going to go after people who he thinks are responsible. And
I hope he goes after you, Ed. I hope that you. I hope that you write.
Man, who's going to write the book?
I hope that you write that. I hope you write your own death.
Well, are you going to buy the comic? Did you read the comic yet?
No, I have not. I have not read it yet.
You got to get it.
I will buy it. I promise. I will buy it.
The story that's coming up is so good. And did Patton tell you about? Patton contributed to one of my other comics that came out today.
Really?
Criminal. Yeah, issue 5 of my creator-owned crime comic Criminal came out today. And Patton is one of many famous people who wrote stuff for the backup stuff about cool crime movies of the 70s. So.
As far as noteworthy people out there that have been in the public eye, and Patton with his stand-up and his work on TV. Is he the most passionate comic book fan you know in that world?
I think he might be. I think Brian Posehn might be slightly nerdier than him about it. But
right.
Yeah, I think Patton is. I mean, when I first met him, 6 or 7 years ago, all we did was sit around and talk about comics.
Ed, listen, if you kill off Captain America,
you're not letting it go.
How are we gonna listen? One of the greatest days of my life was when Spider-Man came out, the movie, because for the first time, and I love all the comic book movies, but that one really, I said, God damn, they did that one just like the comics. We had Stan Lee on, and I must have slurped him for a half hour.
You love that.
Saying how they had the webs coming out, and he swung from building to building, and I watched Fantastic Four, and I think, okay, that translated pretty good.
What is Captain America?
Yeah, Captain America.
What is Captain America's superhero quality? What does he do?
Well, he was a 98-pound weakling.
Okay.
Who got a super injection of Charles Atlas.
I guess my point is that looking down the road, I can see. I've heard of talk about an Iron Man movie. I'd love that. I'd love a Silver Surfer movie. But I would love a Captain America movie.
Oh, me too.
Well, how can you do that? You just killed him, Ed.
I'm still writing the comic. He's my favorite character.
But you killed him. You know what you are?
Why can't you let this...
Bush.
Yeah. You didn't tell him George Bush. You are the O.J. Simpson of comic books.
Oh, come on.
You are, Ed. I'm sorry. Got to call it like I see it.
But he could come back.
You're going to read the comic, though, and find out what happens next, aren't you?
Right.
Yeah. You got to.
Yes, I
mean,
I will,
come on, there's
Ed.
A great story to be told here. And,
You know, I said this earlier today, but one of the interesting things about working on Captain America, you love Captain America, I love Captain America, but when Cap is in the book, it's really hard to sort of explain how much Captain America means to people, because Cap is always punching people in the face and throwing his mighty shield.
Yeah.
With Cap out of the book, I can actually address sort of what Captain America means to America and what he means to the other people in the book.
I'm glad it's all about you, Ed. Really glad. Well, so thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, guys.
We do appreciate your work, and you know, give him some CPR. Bring Cap back to life.
And, Ed, don't worry. Those of us around Don will talk him off the ledge with this one, okay?
Yeah, please. Just don't give him my address.
No problem.
All right, Ed. Nice talking to you, sir.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
See you later.
Thanks for having me on.
You got it.
Well, now when you read this thing, you got to give us a summary, because I mean, I'm not going to go out and buy this now. I mean, I never did read them, so I mean, I can't start now at 47 years of age.
Sure, you can. It'll take you about like one bowel movement to get caught up.
I know. As an adult, you call it a graphic novel. It's not a comic book. It's a graphic novel.
Graphic novel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's like what you put Silly Putty on, right?
You could.
I mean, that's what it
is. You're talking this way about a dead man.
Can you, will you summarize what happens? Now I'd like to find out, you know, how he dies. Yeah. He said he was killed in a very human way.
Someone must find me a bookstore on the way home so I can pick up a copy of this novel.
And that's the guy that writes it. It sounds to me like he's going to bring him back.
Of course he is.
Yeah. 6 months. 6 months to a year, did he say?
Please.
That's the big tease.
It won't last that long. Bring him back. It didn't work when you killed off Superman.
And what about the gay Bucky? What's he going to be doing there during that time? That's going to be, is he going to be like going around beating people up?
He's going to be looking for Captain America's killer, Mike.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Bucky, that is not a good name for a sidekick.
Bucky back in the day.
Well, I guess all the sidekicks have. Robin is not a good name either. Yeah.
And Bucky was also born, at least he came to life in the Captain America back in the 1940s.
Right? You want a great
when it was okay for two men to be living and showering together and no one thought anything of it.
You know a great sidekick name in comic books? Cato.
Right.
Cato, now there's a good one.
Yeah. Green Hornet.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a radio serial and TV show. I don't
Wasn't
know.
Wasn't a comic book?
May have been like a for a while they may have had a brief translation of the TV show was on.
Do Cap and Bucky have any pets? like Astro or
each other?
First off, Astro was the dog on the Jetsons.
I meant Crypto. I'm sorry, I misspoke.
Crypto is Superman's dog.
Or Ace.
Ace the Bat Hound.
Or Streaky.
Cap and Bucky have a series of small rodents that they raise.
Little gerbils.
They raise.
Do they shave them?
But they have superpowers.
They're super rodents.
Yeah, they actually can get out on their own. They don't need a string.
Mike, give me a moment. I believe the nerd hotline is ringing.
Very good. So
crimson trained. Red right now.
Yeah, they're trained.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, what's happening? Hi.
I read an article online.
Yes?
He's excited. Keep going.
I'm waiting.
Oh, God damn.
Wow. Well, you know, when there's that much palm sweat.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I don't know if this qualifies as news or anything. I don't want to
get... I like the mysticism.
...going in, but what about Captain America was supposedly killed by a sniper in front of the courthouse?
Now he takes that away from me.
When you see news breaking, wait 24 hours.
Don't tell me.
Then... Don't call the Don and Mike Show.
Don't tell me how Captain America dies.
That's as bad as, saying at the end of the movie. I even know that, and I'm not in the comic book biz.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Graphic novel.
Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, Don and Mike Show. Howdy.
Hey, Don. I don't know if you've seen the previous week or not, but I saw one for the dentist.
Oh, I'm really sorry. That nerd phone is breaking up.
The palm sweat.
Talk to my people here. Hello. Yes, Papa Pimple. Hello.
Yes. I'd like to weigh in on the Captain America thing.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Bucky, girl. I remember Bucky was killed. I forget what issue it was. But when he was killed, some scientists or whatever brought him back, totally brainwashed him, turned him into some kind of, like, commie assassin kind of guy.
Yeah.
And they made a series out of it called the Winter Soldier series.
Bye!
You know, it's guys like you that ruin it for guys like me with guys like Mike.
I was on a desert island in the Caribbean. Just for a small moment there, okay. I was drinking a very nice tropical beverage.
Let me get you interested in the show again, Mike.
All right, I'm here.
When we come back, Craig Wilson delivers like he has not delivered in nearly a year.
Today, I didn't read it today.
Good.
Good, good, good.
Good, good, good.
All right.
It involves Jack.
Yes.
And underpants.
Let the lottery begin. Let's
we'll
go.
Be right back, everybody.
Gay, 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 gay.
Good.
Okay, oh. Where's the thing? God damn it.
Pause. Gay, 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 gay.
Please, Mike.
Pause.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, my friend, I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean?
Elton John
is a gay.
The Don and Mike Show.
Gay, 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 gay.
This is Scott Thompson saying Don and Mike are a gay.
Gay, 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 gay.
On the gay side.
Gay, 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 gay.
Mini Ripperton.
With only their wit and their guns, Don and Mike.
All right, let's see.
Tomorrow on the show, I don't know, we got some more good guests coming up. They just told me about it, I just forgot. I do know also this week, Nancy will be on the show. We're trying to get JB in studio because the big NCAA selection show is Sunday.
The brackets.
Sunday. Look forward to having them on the show. And whoever it is that you guys told me a little while ago, that I'm sure will be good. If
it's a really terrific guest. You don't remember?
Well, I could remember.
It was, yeah, they don't tell me.
It's got something to do with, oh, I know, it was something to do with atheists.
Atheists.
That's what it is. Oh, Penn. You were standing there, Buzz.
Penn?
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't Penn. And what else is
not
it, John?
I was wrong. It's not atheists. Oh. It's asexuals.
Remember?
Well, that's entirely
different.
Hold
on. Yeah, Rob told me about that. Right. Asexuals. Okay.
Okay.
Fantastic. Asexuals.
Very good.
Or as I call them, Buzz, you remember this, Chris Sheebles.
That's right.
Smooth. There was a guy, I swear to God, a guy that I worked with back in Chicago, even before I knew Buzz, who was, for the longest time, we thought he might play for the other team. And then one night, I just was at his apartment just pounding beer or whatever it was, and I just asked him, you know, what's the deal with you?
You like girls or guys?
You know, he said, what? I love radio. And
creepy answer.
He was serious. I never saw a Chris Sheebles with a man or with a woman.
And then did he become the asexual Chris Sheebles?
Yeah. And he also had that celebrity he most resembles, a cross between James Spader and Powder.
Oh,
yes. Okay,
yeah, that's good.
Isn't that not right?
You're right on the money.
Think about an albino James Spader.
Wow, that's scary.
That's a dude from Boston Legal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's gotcha. Denny Crane's friend.
Denny Crane. Oh, and what did I read about Boston Legal? I don't even watch that show, but is Denny Crane supposed to find out if he's knocked up some chick?
I haven't been following it. Have you been following it?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I've been caught up with with all the other shows we're watching this time of year.
We're waiting to find out that.
What I saw on Entertainment Tonight last night, you know, they do that serious interview about 22 minutes into it. The dwarf on Boston Legal was married to another dwarf, and he committed suicide. And it was her first interview since that.
I saw the greatest thing on Entertainment Tonight last night about Anna Nicole Smith's funeral.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Where they showed her big, fat pig mother grabbing a shovel
and
throwing dirt on the grave while she was put into the ground. It was like, what a freaking circus.
That woman is evil incarnate. I mean, there is absolutely no doubt in my mind. And I like the fact that when she arrived, she got booed.
I believe they said she shoveled 28 shovelfuls of dirt in the oppressive heat.
Yeah, they showed it, and it was like, Jesus Christ. And then it creeped me out because Pat O'Brien says,
I'm Pat O'Brien, and I'm an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm. And coming up, you'll only see this on The Insider. Uh-huh. It's Anna being loaded into the ground and her mom throwing dirt on her. An exclusive.
Yeah, and yeah, that after all the pink fabric and you know, all the nice thing, and then they go right
there. The Insider is the only show that's underneath the burial tent. I'm not kidding. That's
I know.
The freaking guy said.
Thank God it's over. Thank God it is over.
Well, let's get on to something more serious. Here's today's Craig Wilson.
Very good.
From the USA Today. He has a column
every week, and every once in a while we read it.
From the USA Today. A final word. By Craig Wilson. For wedding guests, a Highland fling in kilts. My niece in Minnesota called the other day to tell us she was engaged.
Trying.
The wedding's in October. Save the date.
We congratulated her on the good news, hung up the phone, and poured ourselves drinks. It was more out of depression than celebration. Where have the last 25 years gone, boy?
Laura will be the first bride whose diaper I ever changed.
Oh,
only once or twice, if I remember correctly. But that was enough. Now she's getting married. She went from diapers to diamonds. It would seem like a couple of years.
Before that wedding, though, we have another bride to get down the aisle. My partner Jack's niece.
Partner Jack.
My partner Jack's niece is getting married in Scotland next month. To a Scot named Sinclair, up in the Highlands, north of Glasgow. We've been told to brush up on our Highland fling.
I hope you guys like good whiskey and men in skirts.
Bingo.
The bride-to-be wrote in an email announcing her big day.
I hope one out of two is good enough for her. Men in skirts have never been my thing.
Oh, hold on. What was that again?
I said, men in skirts have never been my thing.
Liar.
I know. But in the spirit of solidarity, all the male members of the family have decided to wear kilts for the big affair.
We got fitted for ours the other day.
Oh, Jesus.
Just like Brittany. We will be wearing underpants. He calls them underpants.
Underpants.
You gotta read that one again.
We got fitted for ours the other day. And unlike Brittany, we will be wearing underpants for the festivities.
Lore is that a good Scot never wears anything under his kilt. The woman who dressed us in our Scottish garb confessed that was probably true, but said it was best for a novice not to go regimental, as they call it. She mentioned something about hives and rashes, and that we weren't used to such activity, let alone cut out for it.
I wasn't quite sure what she meant by any of that. I decided not to ask. Ignorance is bliss, as they say. And I'd like to leave this. I'd like this to be a pleasant affair.
All I know is that my new wedding attire has more parts than those easy-to-assemble toys on Christmas Eve. Even a knife tucked in a knee-high sock.
I can... I'm really the lucky winner
today.
I cannot see why the Scots eliminated the underpants. How can this be such a good bit on such a sad day, the day Captain America died?
I know.
I cannot see why the Scots eliminated the underpants centuries ago. One last thing to worry about.
Which got me thinking about Laura's autumn wedding. What to wear? A dark suit seems a bit uninspired now.
You've got one coming up here.
But men don't wear skirts in Minnesota. With or without underpants. At least, I don't think so.
So far, my brother and nephew.
That's right. Those have been there for us.
So far, my brother and nephew. I've not shown up at any family function in a skirt. What they do in private could be another matter.
Wow.
But we're a good WASP family, where much is not discussed.
Wow. You bet it's not.
Skirts on men being one of them.
Minnesotans seem to be a more practical people than even the Scots.
not surprising. They have to take on the prairie winds and blowing snows from November to May. A skirt would be a poor choice for a March morning in Mendota or Minnetonka. And then there's the Minnesota mosquito problem.
Wow. But who knows? If Jack's niece is wedding at the hot
Jack.
That's his partner, don't you know?
Way out there.
If Jack's niece's wedding in the Highlands goes well, maybe we'll risk it and wear our kilts to the second one, too. And whether I go regimental or not,
I'll
be between me and the bride.
Every family is allowed its little secret.
K-K-K-K.
Craig Wilson.
K-K-K-K.
That's a home run today.
K-K-K-K.
Underpants, kilts, Jack's niece. It's all in there today.
Mosquitoes, rashes.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
I hope you guys like good whiskey and men in skirts.
Wow.
I hope one out of two is good enough for her.
Man, oh, man.
Oh, God. God, that's great.
It's a little on the gay side.
We got fitted for ours the other day, and I'm like, Brittany, we will be wearing underpants to the festivities.
Underpants.
Underpants. You expect to have little designs on little underoos.
Where's my underpants?
Good job, Craig Wilson.
Yeah. Woo! Goddamn. Pretty strong.
Thank you.
Pretty strong. Let's see. Just ahead of Buzz's News Hour. What tapes did we not get to today?
Oh, yes, the tapes.
Oh, my God. Let me see. Oh, all of the American Idol tapes.
Yeah, we did talk about Idol a little bit.
We talked about it, but we didn't play any of the tapes.
People may be surprised to know that I can actually hula.
Oh, this is when the...
Now, was that, I would ask anybody that doesn't watch that show, was that a man or a woman we just heard?
That's the brown Donny Osmond.
Yes.
That's the little Indian boy with the straight hair.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is.
People may be surprised to know that I can actually hula.
Craig Wilson.
People may be surprised to know that I can actually hula.
Song.
4 years, and I decided that it would be good to learn some of the culture, so I learned a hula, and now I can shake my booty Hawaiian style.
Christ. And here's Simon.
Honest to God.
Here's Simon yelling at the little brown boy.
Look, Sanjaya, the good news is it wasn't as ghastly as last week.
Yeah.
So there's a positive. I'm just finding the whole hula hooping, the Paula hairstyle all a bit
Paula
weird. You know, and at the end of the day, look, you're obviously popular, which is why you're still here. But based on the fact, as we've said a million times, it's a singing competition, it wasn't a very good vocal.
Yep, and then you have, what is this, Simon on Kelly Pickler? Oh, is this Simon talking about Kelly Pickler's new boobs?
Yeah.
Oh, hello. Wow.
Kelly Pickler performed last week, looking rather different, I thought, did you?
It's like she's gone to Dolly Parton school or something. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
Is this in Simon's shower? By any chance?
What does this say? Like a British journalist talking to him?
Yes, we pulled it from the net.
Okay, so it's from the net, so it's got that Darth Vader sound to it.
Simon Cowell on the toilet.
Kelly Pickler performed last week, looking rather different, I thought, did you?
It's like she's gone to Dolly Parton school or something. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
Your mouth literally hit the ground.
Well, it was everything. The hair, the dress, the new shoes. Everything.
Could you believe it when you saw her?
No. Me and Randy were like...
Yes, you were.
Where did they come from?
Okay.
All right, I've got to drop some kids off at the pool. Now, off you go.
So what he said is what Randy and I were saying is, where did they come from?
Yeah, exactly. And, new shoes.
Amen. And then one more American Idol tape, and we'll be done with this. Frenchie, remember the big fat whore from last year?
She's bitter.
Talking about this year's young skinny whore.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I deserve an explanation other than you were paid and she wasn't, because that may be acceptable for some people, but it's an unacceptable explanation for me.
All right, there she is. And that's the end of our American Idol talk for today.
Now off you go.
Okay, now where's the thing, Kelly Clarkson? That's what I was like.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
So we'll watch and we'll flap our gums about it tomorrow.
Amen.
Don't forget, though, I did have a brilliant, really, I say that all the time, but I do mean it, a brilliant theory on what the big announcement will be.
I will be very curious. That's tomorrow night we get that. I'll be very curious to see if it's true.
My theory is that they're going to stop the six guys and six girls and just take the 12 most talented contestants.
That would be, it would be a great call, and I also think it would be a good idea for American Idol.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Todd.
Hey, Don.
And Mike, howdy.
Hey, man, you forgot in the very beginning of that the article with Craig Wilson that they said male members, sweet Jesus.
Hold on, let's reread it.
He did use the phrase male members, and I did chuckle when you read it.
Oh, did we miss that one? Where's it?
Yeah, you didn't notice it, but it's there.
I threw mine away.
The male members of my family, about two-thirds down, I'm guessing. Okay. He said that.
You know the guy would be the male members.
Uh-huh.
The male members.
Gay.
We're talking about skirts.
Everybody is looking for it right
and
now.
No,
I'm reading through it.
Trust me, it's there.
You find it, Robbie?
I'm looking.
Did the guy say it was in the beginning?
He did. He said it was in the beginning. I thought it was a little later in the piece, but somewhere in there. He refers to the male members of my family.
Here we get another proofreader on the phone. Hello?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Tom. Tom, how do you spell faggot?
Faggot? F-I-N-G. Faggot.
Right. You can't find it in the story.
It's like, you know when you scan and you can't find something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how that is, Tom, when you're reading fast?
Where is it, Robbie?
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Hold on. Read it. Mike, I don't have my glasses on.
I hope one out of two is good enough for her. Men in skirts have never been my thing. Odd, I know. But in the spirit of solidarity, wait for it, all the male members of the family have decided to wear the kilts to the big affair.
There it is.
Oh, I know what it is. The big kilts is this weekend is Shamrock Fest.
Isn't Super Dave going to be there?
No, Super Dave can't. Super Dave's not allowed because.
Why not?
We're gonna have the big Shamrock security. He ain't allowed around.
Can he come to the thing?
No, he cannot.
He'd be a big hit if he was there.
How do you spell Shamrock?
Shamrock.
Yes.
Shrock.
Try.
Perfect.
You know, Tom, for St. Patrick's Day, you can be O-charted.
What?
Never mind.
So, are you going to wear green on St. Patrick's Day, Tom?
Yes, I am.
Very, very good. Are you going to be our little leprechaun?
Yes. Can I come in and...
No.
What will you eat on St. Patrick's Day?
St. Patrick's Day?
Yes. Yeah. What will you be eating? What will you eat on St. Patrick's Day?
Ham.
Uh-huh.
Spell ham.
H-A-M.
Very good.
Wrong.
What else will you eat?
Cabbage.
Yeah.
Spell cabbage.
C-A-M-P.
Right.
Camp.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now spell egg.
A-G-G.
Right.
Ag.
I'm really sorry you screwed up ham.
Agaga.
And what will you drink?
Eggnog.
Very good. That's what we always drink on St. Patrick's Day, eggnog.
Spell eggnog, please, Tom.
A-G-G.
Ag.
N-A-N-G.
Nang.
Nang.
Beautiful.
Ag-nang.
Ag-nang. He turned it into a Vietnamese village.
Tom, how do you spell news?
N-E-W-S.
No, I'm sorry. That's wrong.
Right. No, it's not.
No, it's not. Very close. You know.
It's not wrong, Don. N-E-W-S.
Hey, you Tom. Know.
Hey, Tom.
Yes?
Monkey.
What?
Monkey.
No.
Monkey.
Watch it.
Hey, Tom, how about that snow outside, huh?
Yeah, snow is funny. I hope we can smear, what's his name?
Monkey!
Tom?
Yeah, I'm doing reverse psychology. I'm hoping the argument he had with Tom, with Robert. Robert called...
You know what we can do with Robert, face?
Robert called Tom a retard, and...
I think Tom was talking about what he wanted to do with Robert's face.
And then I'm gonna smear Robert's face with the snow.
Oh, okay.
How do you spell snow?
S-N-O-W.
Hey. Wrong.
No, it's not wrong.
Yes, it is wrong. This is monkey.
It's S-N-O-W. That's a four-letter word that stopped saying it wrong.
Monkey.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, Tom, I'm here. I'm here for you, Tom.
Hey, where's Charlie?
He's not here today.
Where's he at?
He's out shoveling snow.
Where at? Rockville Pike?
Yes, he's on Rockville Pike in the middle of it shoveling the snow, trying not to get hit by cars.
I heard he got in an accident. He hit... He hit the studio.
Yeah, he hit the studio, Tom. That's a good story. You got to write that down.
How do you spell brain?
B-A-R-D.
Right.
Bard.
And how old are you, Tom?
47.
47, my age.
47.
That's it.
That's okay. What? That's good news.
What's the word from Planet Crestpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Blindly follow Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
You, me, Mar, Beers, Buzz.
It's time for Buzz.
I love the nice shoes Buzz has on, but I'd hate to be in them.
As we get into Frank's news, well, you know what? I just screwed that thing up, Robbie. We just said that. Thank you, friends. We got a bunch of copies of Borat came out on DVD today.
Right. Who don't want Borat?
First five callers right now. We'll start with caller 100 at 877-365-3636. Five random callers get Borat on DVD, now available wherever DVDs are sold. Dial recklessly, you animals, and now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. You know, we focus so often on our Mother of the Year candidates, maybe not enough on the Father of the Year contenders, like the 21-year-old guy in Bridgeport, Connecticut, who Sunday night stabbed his 17-year-old wife repeatedly because he thought she was cheating on him. A 17-year-old will break your heart every time. Then the young father handed the bloody knife to his 2-year-old son and said, "Now you stab mommy."
Oh, good. And then did he have the 2-year-old smoke a joint?
I don't think there was, well, who knows what was involved. Police refused to say whether the child played along. The 17-year-old mother's out of the hospital now. She's going to be fine. The father of her 2-year-old is in jail. The toddler is now living with some relatives, hopefully not anyone who raised his parents.
Always sit around the dinner table and participate with each other, you know?
Babies having babies.
Unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
An object in a guy's rectum was responsible for an airline security scare in Los Angeles yesterday.
Oh, my.
This
is Robert DeMille, man.
There he is. An Iraqi national wearing wires that were connected to a magnet inside his body sent off an alarm during passenger screening. The 35-year-old from Atlantic City was about to board a U.S. Airways flight from L.A. to Philadelphia.
Very nice.
That plane made an unscheduled stop in Las Vegas immediately after the body cavity search. No suspicious devices were found on the plane. Officials say in retrospect there was never really any threat, but they say the behavior of Fadel al-Malachi was just bizarre.
Right, here he is.
But is it not a problem that the woman have a smaller brain than a man?
There he is.
They found a magnet inside of the guy?
Connected to wires that were outside of the guy.
Well, did they think that the wires were going to do something?
They thought it was all perhaps some...
At any point, did they stick him on a refrigerator?
They have now. He's not going anywhere. By the way, that diaper-wearing, duct-tape-toting astronaut Lisa Nowak was fired today by NASA.
Guilty! Guilty of being hot!
She is hot.
Shipped back...
Hot as balls!
Shipped back to the U.S. Navy. They came to a mutual agreement. NASA said it just didn't have the means to deal with this kind of situation. The Navy said, "We'll be happy to take it off your hands." Well, I don't know if they said that.
Mm-hmm.
Will Dick Cheney resign as vice president?
No.
And will Condoleezza Rice replace him?
No.
I'll be there as long as the clot is in my leg.
It is the buzz in Washington today now that Cheney, who's had 4 heart attacks, has been diagnosed with that serious blood clot condition.
You know, I said something the other day, Buzz, and somebody asked me about it. Somebody in real life asked me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And my first comment was, well, anything that's said during the news, I'm going to just talk it out of my ass. But they said something like, Buzz said something about Cheney, and you said, "God, I hope nothing happens to him," and you sounded serious. And I said to this person, I am serious. They said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, because like it or not, Cheney's the president."
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens if something happens to Cheney? Then Bush really is making decisions by himself.
No!
Right. Not that it's been going so great the way that it is now.
It's hard to tell, really.
But the way it's going now is with Cheney running.
And I'm not sure I like Condi in that position either.
Well, lose.
I mean, she seems to kind of do whatever they want her to do.
With this blood clot condition, even Cheney's pacemaker, even his quadruple bypass surgery can't protect him. And then there's Iraq, Walter Reed, and Scooter Libby.
Tom is very, very broken up about this change.
He's one of them liberal Democrats, Mike.
He certainly is. Listen to that.
A little respect. Ah. Come on, Tom. What are you going to do if Cheney croaks and Bush really has the whole country?
Respect.
Or is that the inappropriate laughing that sometimes follows death?
Sometimes, yes.
To resign would disappoint and weaken his close friend, the president. Cheney's schedule's already been cut back. One educated guesser says Cheney will likely resign by the end of the month and likely be replaced by another close friend of the president, Condoleezza Rice. Oh, now what? Now she obviously doesn't want the job. It doesn't sound like it.
No.
She sounds frightened, too.
Ah!
The man who once thought to be our best hope to bring Republicans and Democrats together has confused and disappointed both in recent weeks.
Who's that?
As a result, some of John McCain's top aides, his campaign aides, have decided to jump off the crazy train.
So John McCain has aides?
No. He does. He has campaign aides. It's perhaps the worst
How do you get that? Like on a bus seat or something?
That's a little bit like shingles.
On the road.
On a campaign bus?
Like the shingles.
All that time on the road.
I got the shingles real bad.
Some of McCain's campaign people have left because they lack confidence in a guy who'll go on Letterman and accidentally say that the lives of our soldiers have been wasted in Iraq. Some have left because they think McCain showed bad judgment by announcing his candidacy on Letterman, especially since he didn't tell his people he was going to do that. They had a game plan that would have gone another way, and not quite this early. All the while, McCain continues to slip in the polls. His campaign may be over by the end of this month.
McCain?
Hey, come on, McCain.
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 That's your... McHale. Was it McHale?
Right.
Then it's McCloud.
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 Now it's McCain.
Captain Binghamton.
McCloud. You're driving you ride your horse through Manhattan, McCloud.
Yeah, house made out of tires.
Yeah.
McCloud.
That Yoko, still standing between John Lennon and his fans. Ms. Ono has successfully blocked the premiere of a new documentary about John called 3 Days in the Life.
There she is.
We no longer have a Yoko Ono alarm. So we can now just play the beautiful song styling of Yoko Ono.
Don't worry.
There she is. An overfilled crowd was ready to see the first screening last night at a private school in southern Maine, this new documentary. The headmaster says he was overwhelmed more by the flood of calls and emails from Yoko's lawyers.
MHK loves Yoko.
That kind of works, the two of them together.
Yeah, let's save this for tomorrow, Robbie. We do have the copy of Yoko's brand new album.
Oh, nice. Does she sing like that on it?
Can't wait.
What about it?
Yoko on it.
This is not a gag.
Well,
I swear to God. Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a joke, but it's not a joke.
She didn't mean it that way.
The fact that she's got an album out is a joke, but this is not a joke. It's...
Nothing has changed. Hello, Kitty.
In all those years.
Hey, where's that wing lady?
Oh, wing? Give me a second.
Yeah. Let me see, because the Yoko Ono album that we'll listen to tomorrow is called Yes, I'm a Witch.
Right.
Ah,
very good. Well, it's self-awareness. What's the story on the wing lady? Who's that?
Hold on.
Well, you'll remember
I'm
her.
Sure you remember her.
Wing
She's
lady.
Another famous Asian singer.
Okay.
Not as good a singer as Yoko
well,
Ono, but.
Who is?
This is Wing Sings the Carpenters.
We've had Wing on the show before, at least musically.
Wing Sings.
Don't you remember her, Buzz?
Maybe they could tour together. Let me see if I recognize her.
Why do birds suddenly appear?
It all comes back.
Oh, no.
Now I remember. Oh, my.
Not Yoko Ono.
Come to me, close to me.
So much talent, so little time.
Is that a shame?
All right, well, tomorrow we'll listen to Yoko's up. Does anybody have the winner's names, incidentally, guys?
Oh, of the Borat DVDs.
What are you doing? Can you just write them down on a card? What are you guys doing? Johnny, what are you doing?
He's finishing up the last one right now. Have them for you probably in the next break.
Joe's drawing them, actually.
I mean, really, how...
He's drawing their faces like a cat.
We've been on the air 10 minutes since we announced call in now.
It's Wednesday, Joe.
the right, which means we're supposed to have Joe at his highest possible efficiency.
That's lying today.
Why, you're getting illustration
there.
Here
come the winners right now.
Mm-hmm. Very exciting.
Running into the room. Here's the envelope. And hi, Johnny.
Let's congratulate Mike Weichert from Woodbridge, Virginia.
Weichert.
Jason Chad from Wichita.
Chad.
Josh Bennett from Mays, Kansas.
Josh!
Steve Powers from Fairfax. And Steve something from Sacktown.
All right, they've all got Borat on DVD, available now wherever DVDs are sold.
Very nice.
Fred, we were talking about Yoko.
Yeah, we were, and the fact that she's trying to block this documentary that was supposed to be screened at a private school in Maine. The headmaster of the school, what he didn't know was that this latest dispute is the latest event in a long-running argument between Yoko and the filmmakers. Producers thought they might get around this trouble by showing the movie at no charge for no profit, but apparently that won't be the case. So for now, we won't get to see John Lennon composing. That was tight.
Tight, Buzz.
During his estate. Rehearsing
tight
for
makes right, Buzz.
TV show.
God, you're tighter than a teenage girl's underpants.
Hey, you said underpants again. It's kind of fun.
It's
like Craig. Yeah, also, this video, this film that we aren't getting to see, shows John Lennon rehearsing for a TV show in which he performed Instant Karma for the very first time. His fans would like to see that.
Here it is now.
It's kind of a shame that John Lennon never got a chance to perform with Wing.
Paul did. Paul just put an S on the other.
Wings.
Wings. And now here she is, not Yoko Ono.
Oh, God.
She's so good, isn't she?
Wow. Enjoy this while you hit an icy patch.
Okay, I'll stop. You know, that's like potato chips. Really.
You want to know how to be classy? Be like OJ. We'll explain when we return.
Gotcha, bud.
This is the Dog.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
He prefers to be treated like a dog and also a toilet.
Just set it and forget it. The Don and Mike Show.
I swear I am a real guy. I swear to God.
Yeah. We're going to present for your approval a novelty picture with an all-midget cast.
Now here is Fred. Hi, Fred.
Hi, Don and Mike.
And don't forget your weather.
Yes.
But it is chilly. And it is windy.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
Welcome.
Hi, Meryl.
Hi, Joe.
How are you doing, Joe?
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. A professional waste of time, O.J. Simpson, says that because his sperm are slow swimmers, he might be the father of Anna Nicole's baby.
Oh, God.
Simpson, jump in.
The water's fine.
Yeah, the water's
full.
Not
to say he waits till she's underground, of course.
Yeah. Simpson's quoted as saying he's throwing his hat in the ring.
That's when he finds a woman sexiest, when she's dead.
Like ANS, Simpson loved to spend time in the Bahamas. He appeared with Anna Nicole in Naked Gun 33 and a third. She was blonde and busty, similar to the late Nicole Simpson. Quoting Juice, I hope they don't do a DNA test. If they find out Daniel Lynn is mine, I don't want Fred Goldman trying to seize her money. Or the baby. Stay classy, OJ.
Jesus.
Wow.
Really?
He actually might be pushing it a little bit.
You never know
with him.
When do you think we'll be able to start the search for OJ's killer?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
If this isn't enough to make you like England's two princes, I mean, even if you don't like the royal family, this may turn your head. William and Harry have been goofing around with Grandma. They changed the message on Her Majesty's answering machine. Theirs went, "What's up? This is Liz. Sorry I'm away from the throne. For Philip, press 1. For Charles, press 2. And for the corgis, press 3. This is normally where we would say the queen was not amused. In truth, the queen found it hysterical. Her secretary was not amused.
Delightful.
And how great is it to have people to get upset for you?
Where's that movie they made about me?
Oh, hang on to something. They grow up so fast. In Indianapolis, 2 sixth grader in a classroom. During class.
Oh, Jesus.
With the teacher present. The veteran teacher wasn't even aware of it.
What is this junk? Where's the zazz?
Here's the zazz. It was a lab class. There were a lot of students. One of them served as a lookout.
Hey, Buzz?
Yes?
What about the vagina?
I believe it was representing.
Help yourselves. Get a good one.
We'll lick you all over.
At least 10 other students were witnesses to this. Parents are beside themselves, partly because apparently the teaching staff was instructed to never speak of this again.
A lot of perverts in here.
Hey, that's a good way to handle it.
Parents might never have heard about it if it hadn't turned up on the local news.
You know, in Fairfax County, 69 is a passing grade.
That's great.
And then they took all the kids to the Chinese restaurant. They ordered two Kenchu.
Yeah, fantastic.
Tell the kids not to talk about it and the teachers not to talk about it.
They do grow up so fast. In Phoenix, child pornography charges may be filed against a 12-year-old girl. She used a cell phone camera to photograph herself, quoting police, below the waist. Then, for fun, she emailed the shot to at least 10 of her fellow middle school students. We hear she also gave the picture a spicy little caption in her email.
What about the vagina?
She's now been suspended while police consider criminal charges against the 12-year-old girl.
I knew what are your names?
I knew a grown up.
I'm sorry. He says all the
I'm
names.
Sorry.
Don't they say all the names?
Yeah. What are your names?
Here's the names.
Whitney.
Jitney.
Dubya.
Incest.
Crystal Meth. International Harvester. Birthday.
The cell phone camera, by the way, belongs to an 11-year-old.
I was going
to
say that we knew a guy that actually did that one time. Similarly, you know, took a picture of his nether region.
Old-fashioned camera.
At the old ball yard.
Harry Rosden.
Yes.
Took a picture of his tame.
We were never there to see the reaction to the picture because it was on a young lady's camera.
Such a famous story. We can retell it very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and I had a boys' weekend in Chicago a long time ago going to see the Cubs play. With a guy who used to be our sales manager, Gary Rosnick. We're at the Cubs game, drunk, having a great time in the stands. Some girl behind us with huge boobs and just as dumb as can be.
Yep.
And we spent a lot of the time
talking to her, looking at her,
screaming about her boobs while we were pretending to be talking about the game.
Copy the guys in back of us that were doing they're pretending to cheer for the game when they're making comments about her anatomy.
Come on, bitchy!
Yeah, bitchy!
Come on, bitchy!
And we were laughing so hard. Well, she thought, it was kind of fun. We're having fun. She didn't get the joke, but she was participating in it, wanted her picture taken with all of us.
Oh. So somebody takes her picture, and then Gary Rosnick takes her camera.
She goes out to get, beer or peanuts or something, and her camera's sitting right there.
And he actually starts taking pictures of his genitals, and then when she comes back, we just give her the camera back.
Say so long, and we never saw the reaction.
Imagine she goes to PhotoMat or wherever, and she goes out, oh, here's a picture of some really nice guys I met at the game.
And if you ever heard about that story and you're in the listening audience, that was Gary Rosnick.
She's just grateful she didn't have her toothbrush with her.
You can't do that with a digital camera because she would have known right away.
That was one of those plastic disposables, I think.
You know, now I took an old-fashioned picture of the kids last week and neither could understand why they couldn't look at it right away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see it.
It's
a new era.
Can't see it now. Things have changed.
Do you also remember in the hotel room when Gary Rosnick bent over to show us?
For no reason. For no particular reason. It was right in the hallway going down to the door.
He wanted to
show. It was a homoerotic weekend.
Sounds like it.
The bad part?
Yeah.
And really, he pulled down his pants. And
Something I'll never forget.
Hey, Don Mike.
As long as I live. Said something like, there's no real reason for you to do that.
What is it with salesmen?
And then we made toilet art. We took all our room service and put it in the toilet. We were just out of our minds.
But the best was that we were in some club somewhere. And Gary Rosnick, who's about the whitest guy in the world, ended up with a sea of maybe 25 black chicks. And we said, Gary, what are you doing? He's like, I'm going to party with these black chicks.
And we didn't see him till the afternoon the next day.
They wore him out.
I love that city.
Wore him out. And that's why he wanted to show us his attractive teenage colon.
Yes, yes. Oh, that's right.
Because remember, he said he had been out with all those black chicks at Navy Pier all night.
Exactly.
And they'd been drinking and whoring all night.
And he was still drunk.
It was like, I'm no worse for the wear.
Of course not.
Take a look.
Gary Rosnick. Well, they do grow up so fast, part three. Here's how it went down in Central Florida, according to a TV station in Osceola County.
Okay.
Fire chief allegedly sat back and watched. The fire chief of that county sat back and watched while his wife took on three teenaged boys at the same time in the couple's backyard hot tub.
You belong in a tree. You're a nut.
Channel 6 there says the mid-40s average-looking Mrs. liquored up the boys first with vodka and Baileys. Now Chief Long and his wife each face a string of charges.
Chief Long.
And the boys face a lifetime of memories.
The boys are famous. The boys are heroes.
Jesus. Finally, two wacky mix-up, both kind of involving the ganja. In Sheboygan, Wisconsin, a 22-year-old man got his car stuck in a ditch and along came a cop.
Oh, yeah. That is definitely the ganja.
The young man's fly was open and there appeared to be something going on down there. It turned out to be a small amount of weed and a small pipe. Meanwhile, in another part of Wisconsin, 48-year-old Eugene Hansen was a little too honest when police asked if that's a marijuana pipe he was carrying.
Can I get high?
No, Gene said, that's my bomb. Gene says he likes to blow up rolls of toilet paper for fun.
He said bomb, not bong, right?
Bomb.
B-O-M-B.
Bomb.
Okay,
boom.
Bomb.
Okay. Kaboom bomb. He likes to blow stuff up. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, no! That's it. We got to go.
Time to go.
We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Fare thee well, Captain America.
Yeah. Hey, he's going to come back to life.
Somebody's already sent me spoilers.
Oh, no.
Sent me the text from the comic book.
So you know how he dies?
He gets shot in the head.
Okay. Hey, this save you some time.
I'm still going to buy it.
He'll be back.
I'm still going to mourn him. Captain America, we hardly knew you. Good day to you, Mike.
Good luck, Bucky.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Hey, Head.
Look how pink this is.
Oh, lovely, Rob. You.
Goodbye.
This is the Don and Mike Show.